Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. A couple things we're going to talk about today, but first let me bring in Mom. She's here. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Today I think a couple things that we're going to talk about just in the first hour is the New York Times now overstating that COVID deaths were probably overcounted by about 30%. Another one about the RFK censorship hearing. That should be fun. Then second hour, what you got for us, Mom?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about Anthony Fauci, our favorite little gnome. And it turns out he's been messing around with bioweapons for a lot longer than most people know. It goes way, way back. And there's a great thread by at Kenokia the Great. I follow him pretty closely on Telegram. So lots of Pedogate stuff again today. Sound of Freedom kicking ass in the theaters. It's even outdoing the new Mission Impossible. So I couldn't
that's
be happier about
crazy.
That. Yes.
That's huge. And, and I do want to talk a little bit quickly while Elizabeth joins us. That's it. Another thing we're going to announce today is that Elizabeth is going to do her own segment on the show. And I think we settled on a segment name, just like Mom Has Good News Report. But I will let her make that announcement when she joins us. So, and it's just basically a segment where she gets to talk about whatever she wants to talk about. And that's that. So that'll be in the third hour. I'm not really sure. We might just put it in wherever, time is needed. But, while she jumps on, I do want to kind of, talk about, recap a little bit of last week's show. And then the week that followed for me, which was a tough one, I got to say, I got a lot of flack for speaking out the way, having the opinion that I have on the movie. I got a lot of hate thrown my way, a lot more than I've gotten in years, actually.
Can I just ask you when the last deluge of hate occurred? Wasn't that about Pedogate too?
Maybe when I ran for Congress.
Gotcha.
But then again, my platform was Pedogate. Like that was my
there you go.
First. That was my first platform position. It's human trafficking. Okay, so Elizabeth's here.
Better late than never. How are you guys?
Hello, Elizabeth.
Happy Sunday. Hey, Carla. Welcome back.
Here I am. Welcome back.
Nobody knows, but welcome back. You know, I'm going to tell you what. It sounds like jealousy. That demon of jealousy is going around and around.
It's real.
It is real. And I tell you what, too, though, that, there is a spirit of enmity that wants all of us to behave that way. I'm wrestling with my evil right now because I have, real-life assholes to have to deal with when I go to work tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm not going to let it bother me. And it's the closer it gets to tomorrow, the more pissed off I am. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's this coming from? Where's all this coming from? I'm doing a little cleanse. Because when you eat beets, it takes the toxins out of your body. And the liver is where all your anger stays in your body. So I'm like, I got like all this, it's like the, should I come, should I go? It's coming and going, and it's erupting and all this anger that I'm trying to keep down. And kind of a very... sometimes disciplined, I know better, but there'll be a time when it's like, boy, when I blow my fuse, it's not pretty. It doesn't last very long, but it's certainly not pretty. And
have you ever seen Half Baked, Elizabeth?
Say what?
Have you ever seen the movie Half Baked?
I have not. But what I was going to go in for is that I have better sense, and I kind of like know, okay, I can't act this way. I try to change it. I try to keep it in and balance and not even be, don't be a jerk. You know, it's Buddha's wisdom. Don't be a dick. And
I have a pillow on my couch that says, don't be a dick, bro, Buddha.
Exactly. But most people seem to, they've thrown caution to the wind, and it doesn't matter. They're going to just spew whatever form of toxins that they have running, and they just spew it all over you. And that's what I saw.
And these are people at work?
People on Facebook.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, work is like the micromanaging, you know, incompetence. If we're incompetent, we must control everyone. You know, it's a whole different story. But on Facebook, they're just like doing venom. And it's like they don't even think about perhaps how that sounds to somebody else. Is this a mosh pit of opinions? That, you know, that somebody's going to lose an eye, guys. No, we don't care. I'm in such a mood today that I unfriended somebody that I'm just not in the mood for that negative evilness. There's enough inside of me already that I'm extra sensitive to it coming to me. I unfriended her because I'm like, you're just crazy. You're crazy and hateful and nobody cares. Boom, goodbye. And then I'm reading three different books. In one of them, I'm like, I can't read it because it's got the energy of that. It's Catcher in the Rye. It's written with a very don't give a shit about anybody or anything. And, you know, perhaps in another time I would think it was funny because of the wit and the humor and the way. But it's a teenage boy with a bad attitude going through life. And I'm like, I'm not in the mood for this. I don't even want to get into this book. Because it's got this spirit that I don't like, and I can see why it's on the banned list now, because it's one of those banned books. The language is just atrocious. It's worse than me. I'm like, yep, I know why this is banned. And it doesn't even have a good message either, so I'm like, I don't care that it's banned. And I don't even see where it's a classic, because it's got bad energy. But that's where I am right now. Where I'm like,
It does. That's probably why they make us read it in school.
Yeah, I didn't like school, so I didn't go. That's one of the things I didn't have to do. And I know I didn't read Catcher in the Rye.
When I was a senior in high school, I graduated in 2000. So at the beginning of the school year, they did a Y2K test on the system on all of the systems. Yeah, some of them passed. But one thing that it did do is it knocked out the absence reporting system, like for pretty much the whole year. Like, so if you were out absent, it couldn't record it as an absence. When teachers took roll and turned it in, it went into this system, but the system was down, so it didn't record it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, hell, what, I mean, like, why are we here? And we had block scheduling too. So we had 2-hour classes. We had 3 classes a day, 1-3-5 schedule, 2-4-6, schedule. And so it was so easy to be like, I don't want to go in early, so I'll just miss first period. It's 2 hours. Right.
Right.
So that's, it's funny that you say that you didn't go. Cause the system says that I went, but,
they knew we did. They only wish we wouldn't. Remember, I got the letter that says we don't see any need for you to return when you turn 16, because I didn't care for my attitude, my incorrigibleness.
Yeah.
I imagine my boss doesn't. I bet my boss feels the same way about me as my dean.
Mom, are you there? Right, little technical issue. Mom, are you there?
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had to call back in. It never fails when I log in or bring up a Gateway Pundit article, and I, if I have more than one open, it knocks me out. I've been called a conspiracy theory for a very long theorist for a very long time, but
I think it's AI censorship. I really do, because the ones that are really like, oh my gosh, this is really good, it won't play. It won't let me share. There's a program in there that it is whatever certain catch words are in it. The AI has censorship. I don't think it's conspiracy. I think it's a computer program. AI's Big Brother. Big Brother's got it under control. They keep it safe. Matter of fact,
I
hopped on to TikTok. Has a new I gotta walk out of the room. It has a new terms of agreement that I just clicked. I don't care. I agree. And very well could agree to them coming to take me away to re-education camp because I'm just not fitting in.
You
with
probably
society.
Did. Yeah.
Probably did. But there you go. So I wanted to watch a video. This guy's really good. He's I'm gonna plug him. He is Sean J. The King. The something. I don't know. Brilliant. Live streamer did a really good thing about the mosquitoes that they unleashed upon us decades ago with viruses.
Are you
Georgia and Florida?
Are you telling us your segment? Because this is your first segment. Like today will be your first segment.
No.
Did you? Is this what you're going to talk about in your segment?
No. We got a whole different thing. But I was going to plug this. He's amazing.
Yeah, do it.
He's like, he goes. Not that I don't trust the government, but I don't trust the government. And, you know, of course, Bill Gates, he loves us, and he wants the best for us. I love this kid. He's fantastic. So I think I clicked on I'm following him now. And it's just nice to know there's younger, aware people out there that just see exactly how horrible this is, whatever they're actually actively doing is unleashing little bioweapons that are disguised as mosquitoes via Bill Gates Foundation. But it's nothing new because the government did this back in the, and I couldn't catch what, 70s or 60s they did this. And with a specific design as to see how it can eliminate a population. It was like a military program that they tried out on their own population because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
so
what did you decide for your
segment today, Elizabeth?
My segment is going to be I want to talk about, and it does go with it, the AI, how this is a looming, this AI takeover is really looming. It's really real. And I saw Fran Drescher do in a very passionate speech about the writer's strike. And they, bottom line, are fighting against an AI program that's basically taking their jobs away, robbing money from their tables. They can use one actor and use it over and over again, and they don't get any copyrights, and it's like ruined their business. That people are like, oh, nobody cares about Hollywood. Guess what? It's coming to your town, too. AI is not discriminating. Once they get this, it's going to be, it's a bad, we're going to be a living a sci-fi movie pretty soon. And I was like, kudos to Hollywood for standing up and calling out AI as being a threat to working people. And I'm like, this is something we don't really think about, and we really need to think about it. So she's like my hero of the week right now. And I think that's been soundbited away, too, because they're talking about the streaming as being the component. And I've even seen, talk about conspiracy theories and the controlled opposition.
Can I just say something on that real quick?
Oh.
Yeah, just real quick. There is to your point, there is. So Netflix has a show called Black Mirror, and it's hard to watch at times, but the new season just came out, and the first episode is called Joan is Awful, which talks about exactly that, where they take your a person's likeness and basically like everything that she did all day long was recorded and played mm-hmm. as a Netflix, they call it Streamberry in that. So her fiance are sitting there on the couch. What's this? You know, and it's like, and it's her whole day. And so like this Joan is like, oh my gosh, goes to Streamberry. They're like, nope, you signed the consent. It's not you. It's, you know, and it's funny because her character is played by Selma Hayek. And even so Selma Hayek's like, what is going on? I didn't get, you know, any, you know, royalties. I didn't get, you know, anything for this. And they're like, well, we don't have to because we're just using AI. So kind of, I mean, yeah, it is what's going on right now. I just had to bring it up.
Yeah, no, exactly. And this is, people don't realize how quickly this is going to spread like a virus through our nation and world, because we've laid the groundwork, the infrastructure for all this technology, and it's a question of flipping a switch, and boom, they've been talking about the FedNow thing has been implemented in Australia. There's no more cash, and you don't have an option because they just decided that's what we're doing. There's nothing to be done about it. And
so those are your topics for today. What is your? We're all waiting with bated breath to find out the name of your segment.
Oh, my segment is unscripted, uncut. Elizabeth Huss.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
I like it.
So if with
you
your
never
permission,
know what I'm
like
gonna,
to
I never know what I'm going to say, and you can't stop me from saying it. So it's unscripted in the cut. How about that?
That's exactly right. okay, so with that, I'd like to get into the two topics that I wanted to talk about today. You know, I guess I could talk a little bit more about the hate that I've been experiencing online this week, but, you know, I'm just kind of letting it go. And, you know, but one thought that I had on this is that it was somebody who mentioned this today that, you know, oh, you guys, it's one of those yelling posts. You're sheeple for watching, you know, watching this blah, 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 blah. All of the stuff that we've all heard, right?
Right.
And so I asked her today, you know, legit question, how do we stop it? And she said, I wish I knew. And so to that point, it's like some shrill woman this week came at me saying that everything that I've done, you know, all of the content that I've put out over the past, you know, close to a decade, that nobody cares, like human trafficking victims don't care that you started withdrawing from society and getting chickens. Didn't say that, just they don't care about your chickens or your garden, basically. And that only about 8 people listened or watched any of my content, right? And so you know, to me, and I took that kind of hard. I know she's just being shrill, you know, but but to that point, my decade, almost decade of content that I've put out and the solutions to it, meaning withdrawing consent from the system, raising awareness to the general public so that they can join us in withdrawing consent from the system. Only a tiny fraction of all of that content you know, was seen by people and only a small group of people saw it. So I ask, I guess, this simple question, if all of that stuff that I've put out, virtually nobody saw, why are you bashing a movie that a lot of people will?
Right. And
did she answer your question?
I didn't wake people up.
Does she have any kind of a response?
I think she's sad face reacted.
Right. Because there's no good explanation. I'd like to talk about this a lot more because I'm more fascinated with the response and why we're getting this response. It's like, okay, yes, anything that's put up, you got to look at the timing, you got to look at the characters, the players, and knowing what diabolical agenda is, it doesn't take too much thought to see, oh, geez, this is not going to go well. This is something that's been going on forever, and they're going to use this as an excuse to push their agenda. But let's look, and that's for another day. But when you see something, I'm wondering what has happened to us as a human, as a species, and is it just our culture, the Americans, that are like this because of the inundation of chemicals and the side effects of these chemicals, like ibuprofen and acetaminophen. Those both have a side effect of apathy. Oh, dear God. How many people are apathetic and how many people are on pain medications?
Yeah. Over well, the counter. People who are yelling on the internet sure aren't apathetic about shit. They're yelling. They're not sitting in the corner saying, who cares? They care.
They're not doing anything. So that's apathy. It's like, look at this guy. Look at, we got children being trafficked into slavery, sex slavery. We have people. It's another news cycle and to be replaced. Now, this is fascinating, to be replaced with something more like it's like a football game. The Jason Aldean song. Now that, and no one's talking about the Son of Freedom anymore. They're talking about Jason Aldean song. And it's like, what's
you
wrong with our
you can
blow
my timeline and check.
And
I have not made one post about this.
Well, not you, but I look at what goes through my feed.
Yeah.
And now it's the focus has been directed to something else even more important than this. And
in my opinion, there is nothing more important than
the next one. But what happens to them between the heart and the mind of people? So where you see somebody who's on the ground hurt, why do you keep stepping over them and the complaining that nobody's picking up the garbage in this town? That's almost what we do. Instead of like, oh my God, can I help you? And stop and take 10 minutes to see if they're okay, didn't need anything, help them to get on their feet, to be a regular person. No. This would be like your human response to, wow, is this really for real? Are people stealing little kids? Like, there's no stopping to feel the moment, to stop and give the dead a moment of peace, a moment of silence, respect. It's like that has kind of gone away. And you see it with
the wheel got spun.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like there's a wheel out there of offensive. Right, we're going to spin it, and this time it's going to be about vaccines or masks or, you know, Jason Aldean or, all of us. Ukraine war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are we going to circle back around to Yemen, the children of Yemen? Because that was a big thing way back when. And it's like, maybe we're back to Palestine. There's always something, but we're not. We can't have a moment of grief and feeling and communication and public dialogue and conversation leads to thoughts and solutions and community. Mm-mm, that doesn't happen anymore. It's all this venomous, it's parrot. They parrot these things. Controlled opposition is the biggest. What are the catchphrases? Right? It's just they throw them out. And it's almost like they don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. They're just pouring out these.
I think
terms.
I think they have a literal script that they're reading off of.
They might.
I do have a theory that a lot of these people are paid.
You know what? And that's where you shouldn't even let this upset you. When it comes really fast and it's like boom, 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 coming from both hips, double barrels. Yeah,
well, and this one shrill woman came at me, like, people know she's a real person, and I have no doubt that she's a real person, but what I think is going on is that a lot of people, what?
I am a friend of her. I think I saw that video, and I unfriended her. I'm like, I can't deal with your temper tantrum.
Video?
And your
there was a video?
Yeah.
Somebody made a video about me?
Well, not about you, but kind of directed toward you, I thought.
Probably.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. I'll send you the name on the chat. But
Kate Chapman, right? Kate Chapman was the one.
Oh, no, not this one. This is, I'm not going to, I'll send you the name.
Yeah.
But
what I think is going on, honestly, is that there's a group of people that all have the same, accounts, and passwords that they all kind of share, and whoever's available can jump on and be Kate Chapman. I think Kate Chapman is a real person, but the fact that, so she brings up when I ran for Congress. And first of all, she says that, you know, politics are not going to get you the vote harder script. She starts to go down. Right. So she's putting herself out there as somebody who isn't into politics at all. But the last thing that she said to me before she blocked me was, try not embezzling campaign money. Now, I didn't. I had an accountant. All of the receipts are there. There's nobody's been able to prove that I've done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, my bitter campaign manager, who's in jail right now, about to be sentenced to 15 years in prison for beating his girlfriend, sent even a letter to the FEC stating that I was stealing money from my campaign. First of all, I ran Green Party, and Green Party candidates don't get money. They just, we didn't get, we're talking about hundreds of dollars, and you don't even have to report anything to the FEC until you hit something like 2000, So, so there's that. And so even the FEC was like, there's nothing here. Right. But for this person, this Kate person, to block, right before blocking me, say all of these things, stop being a crazy QAnoner, stop listening to Ty, and maybe maybe don't embezzle campaign money, made me really think that this is a shared account, right? Because this person says that she doesn't follow politics. So how did she know that some obscure third-party candidate that didn't even get past the primaries was accused of this?
And I can tell you who that is. The exact words comes out of this guy's mouth all the time about you. And even the, why don't you just go and get vaccinated? Why don't you just go kill yourself?
That was a different account even.
Yeah, but it's coming from the same person. Same person who's so jealous he can't get it. Because you're doing something he can't do.
And I love it because, am I friends with this person or am I blocked?
Oh, no, I'm sure this is just, he doesn't have the balls to stand up and tell you to your face all the time, but he never lets it go. And I personally had conversations where that's what I hear about you. And I'm like, I don't really care. And, it's like, doesn't concern me. Really doesn't. Sounds like high school to me.
Right. Mom, you were around during that campaign. How much money did I make?
$2.99.
Yeah, it was nothing. It was nothing.
I seem to remember maybe $1,000 total.
It was less than that.
Probably less than that, probably $800, something like that. But it was fun, and it was a wonderful experience for everyone, and that's what it turned out to be, a wonderful experience, and that's just grand. And the fact that this many years later they're still saying it tells me that this – and, I kind of got scolded gently by using the word controlled opposition, or the phrase, excuse me, but that's exactly what it is. You can tell when you post something that isn't part of the approved narrative. You'll get jumped on by multiple accounts. One of the things they do, it's called dogpiling, and it's to shut you up. It's all part of the censorship, and of course we know where it's coming from. And you made a point the other day that a lot of it is the weird stuff with the capitalization.
Yes.
Again, not to suggest that they're not real accounts. But I believe that they're manned by people that are paid good money to pay attention and to look for posts like that and to dogpile on them. I've seen it happen on Twitter. I know for a fact it happens on Facebook. So it's important, though, to pay attention to who those accounts are. I always go look at the accounts. I block them if I think it's, if my suspicions are confirmed, because mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't give them another opportunity. I mean, and I understand you're trying to change hearts and minds, but I wouldn't suggest wasting your time or your energy on those kinds of accounts where you see all of a sudden you get dogpiled. And look at the subject exactly. matter. Now, I could see if you were arguing about masks or, you know, some of the other crazy stuff. And we know that happened over a movie about child sex trafficking. That tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah. Go get, mm-hmm. yeah, why don't you, yeah, go get vaccinated. That was something, because these are truthers, quote unquote, the accounts portray themselves as truthers. Mm-hmm. And hey, why don't you go get vaxxed? And so basically an account like that telling me to go get vaxxed is basically like telling me to go kill myself. You know, like
exactly.
maybe we can think about that.
Yeah.
That person has way too many friends in common with us. And no, but that's his puppet account. That's puppet
uh-huh.
account. I was going to, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well.
You know who it is.
And
it's sad. It's just sad. It's jealous. It's a desperate attempt to try to somehow make himself irrelevant. And then miraculously, he's back on with his, you know, low vibrational idiot that he does live streams with. And nobody's watching. It's like, you think you got her where she's just too despondent to do any more shows, and now you're coming back because I won. No, you're still pathetic and irrelevant and jealous and petty, and you're right down there on the bottom of my shoe. So we know who it is. But that's who I looked it up. I looked up that account. And that's a public account. Uh-huh. On that level, I'm not interested in saving humanity. Some of you all deserve what you get.
I'm pretty sure that's true, yes.
Yeah, on that one. But I never take anything that anybody says, because I'll just tell them exactly what I think, and all of a sudden I make them cry and they go away. I don't really respond to a lot of these people. But,
well, if it's the person that I think it is, then that really makes me sad because I. But still, part of that whole group.
You know, I shouldn't know these things about you. I should not know these things, and I know these things because they came out of his mouth, and he really has a problem with that. Somehow, he has a problem with you over that stupid thing. It's like he's idealistic. He doesn't really see things. I don't know. There's something. That's why I'm not friends with him anymore. I don't do live streams with him. I don't want nothing. I don't like this person. No, I don't respect you. You have qualities that you don't
very
even know.
Very interesting.
You don't even know. Yeah, so.
All right, let's move on. I think, you know, I've let these people rent space in my head for way too long.
Exactly.
So,
let those eight people go run and tell everybody what we just said.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Robert from Minnesota, you better not say anything. Anyway, so let me just get into my two topics. Do you guys want to start with the censorship hearing, or do you want to talk about the New York Times over-reporting COVID deaths?
I want to talk about COVID deaths first because you're going to lead into my segment with the censorship. So do that one second, please.
Sounds good.
Okay, great.
Sounds good.
So I've joked around for a long time about Jimmy Dore following me, but after you guys listen to this segment from Jimmy Dore, you guys are going to be like, come on. He definitely followed you, especially because, sometimes I play like especially short clips like too many times, but you know, who knows? Maybe somebody, maybe Danny from Philadelphia is going to listen this time and hear it.
He doesn't have short clips. You're his biggest fan. He should be listening to you.
Right, exactly. But after you guys listen to this Jimmy Dore clip, you guys are be convinced. Oh, come on.
Okay.
I have to refresh this because it's still saying it's downloading. Let's see. No, no, no. Okay.
How could we not be a fan? We're fucking brilliant, man.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We should be having brunch.
Best thing on Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Okay.
Okay. Hold on, I'm going to mute. The boys. Oh, you little monsters.
There we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
So the New York Times is now, again, another conspiracy theory turns out to be 100% true. After relentlessly calling it a conspiracy theory, the New York Times and the CDC now admit authorities overcounted COVID deaths and overhyped the pandemic. About a third of official COVID deaths, or hundreds of thousands of deaths, were not due to COVID. So, hey, a positive COVID milestone. Is it that you're going to stop lying about COVID deaths? Is that the COVID milestone? Well, I guess that's positive. You know what? It's also a milestone. So great job, New York Times. In a sign that the pandemic really is over, the
second,
total
please?
Number of Americans dying each day is no longer.
It doesn't quite work like that, because that's fine. We'll have to start it over. I'll just play it on my phone. But yeah, because it'll start over from the beginning. That's another reason
it's okay. I don't care if you start it over from the beginning. My head is going to explode. Did you hear the way they reported this story? Whoopsie.
Oops.
I wonder what page of the New York Times it was on.
That's another good question.
I wonder if anyone else is going to report this except Jimmy Dore.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Hold on. I'm going to just play it on my phone now. But spoiler alert.
Sound is good.
Again, another conspiracy theory.
No, that sounds good. Start it over. We'll wait.
Okay, starting over.
I'm so freaking mad right now. I'm so
angry. Don't
let
the demons get to you. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
So the New York Times is now, again, another conspiracy theory turns out to be 100% true. After relentlessly calling it a...
Is that audio okay, guys?
It's okay. Yes.
Not as good, though, right?
No.
Hold it differently.
And we don't mind waiting for you to cue it back up, re-download it, whatever you have to do. And I'm really sorry for interrupting.
No,
but
that's okay.
My freaking blood pressure just went through the roof. I thought I was going to have a...
Take a deep breath.
Freaking heart attack. How I'm enraged at what they did to us.
I know.
Look what
I'm
going to
have to play it on my
us.
Phone because also I downloaded the wrong clip. This is only it only downloaded part of it. Conspiracy theory, I think they're screwing with me again, but this is 5 minutes and 44 seconds.
Okay, well, the audio is fine. It's just not quite as good, so go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No
I
problem.
Just got so mad.
There we go. 3, 2, 1.
The New York Times and the CDC now admit authorities overcounted COVID deaths and overhyped the pandemic. About a third of official COVID deaths, or hundreds of thousands of deaths, were not due to COVID. So, hey, a positive COVID milestone. Is it that you're going to stop lying about COVID deaths? Is that the COVID milestone? Well, I guess that's positive. You know what? It's also a milestone. So great job, New York Times. In a sign that the pandemic really is over, the total number of Americans dying each day is no longer historically abnormal.
That's weird. What about the temperatures?
So the United States has reached a milestone in the long struggle against COVID. The total number of Americans dying each day from any cause is no longer historically abnormal. Excess deaths, as this number is known, has been an important measure of COVID's true toll because it does not depend on the murky attribution of deaths to a specific cause. However, a level of phony propaganda reporting will remain at an abnormally high level.
Wait. I have a question.
Let me explain to you what so I think they're lying about excess deaths here because excess deaths mean, so they know how many people are supposed to die each week normally. So they take the numbers from the 5 years up front of the pandemic and then they compare it to the numbers of people dying since the pandemic started. And there's all these excess deaths, except there's all these excess deaths that cannot be attributed to COVID. So what they're implying in this is that these excess deaths were all from COVID, and now we're getting back to normal levels. But those excess deaths weren't from COVID. There's a lot of excess deaths that they say aren't from COVID. So they're misleading you here. That's one way I just found out. What was your question, Kurt?
Okay, I don't understand. It says it does not depend on the murky attribution of deaths to a specific cause. How would attributing deaths to a specific cause
be murky?
Yeah.
Because they were lying about it. That's why. Yeah. So like if you came in with a gunshot wound and they would say that you were...
It was from ivermectin.
Yeah. Even if COVID is being underdiagnosed, the excess death statistics can capture its effects. The statistic also captures COVID's indirect effects, like the surge of vehicle crashes, gun deaths, and deaths from missed medical treatments during the pandemic. Okay. During COVID's worst phases, the total number of Americans dying each day was more than 30% higher than normal, a shocking increase. But they're not all due to COVID. For long stretches of the past 3 years, the excess death was above 10%. But during the past few months, excess deaths have fallen. And also, and this is just a coincidence, people stopped taking the vaccines. Nobody's taking the booster.
Hey, guys, get out there.
So these two think that has nothing to do with this.
If you want
That's
to say,
just a coincidence, Kurt.
A vaccine a day keeps the doctor...
So they're not telling you this, that you can't attribute those excess deaths to COVID. There's all these excess deaths that are not attributed to COVID, and they're not telling you that in this. They're making you believe that all the excess deaths were from COVID, and now COVID's over pretty much, and so the excess deaths are going back down. They're not talking about any coincidence of that people stopped taking the vaccines. They're not talking about that because it has everything to do with it.
We're in lockdowns ending with the height of all the bad things in the world.
But during the past few months, excess deaths have fallen almost to zero, according to three different measures. Okay. The Human Mortality Database estimates that slightly fewer Americans than normal have died since March, while The Economist magazine and the CDC both put the excess death number below 1%. COVID's toll, to be clear, has not fallen to zero. The CDC's main COVID webpage estimates that 80 people per day have been dying from the virus in recent weeks, which is equal to about 1% of overall daily deaths. The official number is probably an exaggeration because it includes some people who had virus when they died, even though it was not the underlying cause of death. Other CDC data suggests that almost one-third of official recent COVID deaths have fallen into this category, into the category of mean they didn't actually die from COVID. The CDC is admitting the number is probably an exaggeration. Of course, so they're admitting they overcounted COVID deaths. That's the important thing here. And they're still lying. And it appears that they're misrepresenting the excess deaths data.
Hey, let's let bygones be bygones and all forgive each other over a nice round of vaccines.
So a study published in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases came to similar conclusions, the similar conclusion that they were overcounting COVID deaths. Whoa. What is this, the New York Times?
or the latest copy of No Shit magazine. Turns out they were overcounting the COVID deaths, Kurt. Who could have told you that except pothead comedians drunk and asleep? But now they finally figured it out in end of July 2023 over at the New York Times. They finally figured out they were overcounting COVID deaths, and they're admitting to like a third. So, you know, probably two-thirds. So probably most of them, because they're all liars at the CDC and the New York Times. They've lied to you since the beginning of this. Do you think they've stopped lying? This is what they're admitting to. They're admitting to a third of the COVID deaths were overcounted.
Yeah.
To scare the hell out of you.
Exaggerated, we'll call it.
Wow. Our most reliable pandemic number is losing meaning. That's from September 2021. A new study suggests that almost half of those hospitalized with COVID-19 have mild or asymptomatic cases. Oh, my God, we can't scare the hell out. So most of the people who had to go to the hospital for COVID had mild symptoms. Almost half, not most. Strike that. Almost half. Jesus H. Who could have possibly predicted, Kurt? What human psychic anomaly with powers beyond all space and time could have ever predicted that your most reliable COVID numbers would turn out to be total shit?
Lost a lot of friends over that one, too.
David Sweet knows. If you want to make sense of the number of COVID hospitalizations at any given time, you need to know how sick each patient actually is. Until now, that's been almost impossible to suss out.
Has it?
Some patients need extensive medical intervention, such as getting intubated.
God.
Turns out that Fauci said that they shouldn't have done that. No. Others require supplemental oxygen or administration of steroid dexamethasone. But there are many COVID patients in the hospital with fairly mild symptoms who have been admitted for further observations on account of their comorbidities or because they reported feeling short of breath. Another portion of the patients in this tally are in the hospital for something unrelated to COVID and discovered that they were infected only because they were tested upon admission. How many patients fall into each category has been a topic of much speculation.
Okay, let me just stop that really quick, but the next part is awesome. It's all awesome. But this steroid that Jimmy's talking about, that Jimmy Dore is talking about, is, you know, it's mild enough that they give that, I believe they give this to babies, you know, like, you know, and it's safe in pregnancy. Like if a mother is going in to labor premature in order to like stimulate the baby's lungs, they give the mom steroids, I believe. So it's not like it's, you know, it is a very, very mild.
It's
treatment.
Prednisone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a common treatment for this type of thing before COVID. They forgot that they had that. They didn't.
Yeah.
Use it.
No, we're just going to stick.
No, they
it
were
down
getting
people
on ventilators,
that's what we're
killing
do.
Them.
I'm
they were serious. Putting people.
I've seen congressional where they've had guys that worked in this and they left. They're like, I can't be part of this. I didn't realize what was happening, but when I did, I couldn't do this anymore because wait a minute. Why are we going backwards? We're actually killing them instead of making them better. We would not do this to somebody.
And that, I believe, Elizabeth, I believe that was the point. But let's continue, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yes. No worries.
For two separate studies published in May 2021, doctors in California read through several hundred charts of pediatric patients one by one to figure out why exactly each COVID-positive child had been admitted to the hospital. Did they need treatment for COVID, or was there some other reason for admission, like cancer treatment or a psychiatric episode, and the COVID diagnosis was merely incidental? According to the researchers, 40 to 45% of the hospitalizations that they examined were for patients in the latter group, meaning it was just incidental, that they weren't in the hospitals for COVID. So again, almost half of all pediatricians, the kids who were admitted to hospitals for COVID didn't have COVID, that weren't there because of COVID. They were reported by the government and the news media that they were there for COVID, but it turns out they weren't.
Well, did they at least get it at the hospital?
COVID? I hope so.
It was a big waste if they didn't.
Wow, where did these researchers get their research? My show? In August, researchers from Harvard Medical School, Tufts Medical Center, and Veterans Affairs Healthcare Systems analyzed the electronic records of for nearly 50,000 COVID hospital admissions at more than 100 VA hospitals across the country. They then checked to see whether each patient required a supplemental oxygen or had the blood oxygen level before 94%. That latter criterion is based on the National Institutes of COVID definition of severe COVID. If either of these conditions was met, the authors classified that patient as having moderate to severe COVID.
Okay. I'm sorry to keep pausing it, but I don't think they actually addressed this. But if an indicator of moderate to severe COVID is oxygen levels below 94%,
That's what they were using.
Right. My husband had to wear masks at work, and he was getting really lightheaded, bad headaches, and we've got one of those pulse oximeters. And I called it a 5-minute mask challenge. And he went from 98% oxygen saturation down to 86 just by putting on a mask.
So they put a mask on them, drop their sats, and then have COVID in their freaking system and call them a COVID case.
Yep.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Who could have ever, just like he said, who could have ever saw that, you know, been psychic enough to, all right, let's play.
But otherwise, the case was considered mild or asymptomatic. Well, the study found that from March 2020 to January 2021, before vaccination was widespread and before Delta variant had arrived, the proportion of patients with mild or asymptomatic disease was 36%. It's over a third. From mid-January through the end of June 2021, however, that number rose to 48%. In other words, the study suggests that roughly half of all the hospitalized patients showing up on COVID data dashboards in 2021 may have been admitted for another reason entirely or had only a mild presentation of a disease. Wow, Kurt, they just discovered the thing that we knew 3 freaking years ago.
That Bill Gates knew 2 years ago.
I didn't know that during the pandemic, even researchers didn't do their own research. Isn't that something?
I suspect it.
So this study suggests that COVID hospitalization tallies can be taken as a simple...
Can't
be taken as a simple measure of prevalence of severe or even moderate COVID disease because they might inflate the true numbers by a factor of 2.
Well, okay, I know we already knew this, but this is the time when we finally break it to the readers of The Atlantic.
But you know what, right?
These are the people, but they have to hear it this way.
But actually, Kurt, this article is from September, from 2021. So this was in The Atlantic in September 2021, but apparently nobody read it and nobody
lost his job.
He probably lost his job. We should follow up on David Zweig, see how he's doing.
I hope they ran him right out of the business.
I bet he got run out of the business because he said something true about COVID. So now the New York Times just caught up to The Atlantic is what's happening. And they just caught up to the Jimmy Dore show. So let's watch this.
So I think in this country, we've taken...
Here it is. Here it is. How many times have you guys heard these clips?
And a very...
Whoa, that's quite a... What's up going on? Hang on a minute. Is she doing an impression of somebody?
Dr. Burke.
Does she really talk like that? Let's listen.
Do you think the skull...
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. There are other...
Is that... What's my favorite Minneapolis comedian's name? What's her name?
Maria Bamford.
Is that Maria Bamford doing a character? Because that's what it sounds like.
It does sound like Maria.
Close your eyes and tell me if you don't think this is Maria Bamford doing a character.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. There are other...
Yeah, they're having fun with it, but they'll get to it.
If you know who Maria Bamford is, that is unbelievable. Okay, here we go. So let's start it again.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it. And we'll, I mean, the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Can you be sure, and you hear from coroners that that's not necessarily the case, or are you sure, how can you be confident about that, and is there any concern that it's used?
Wow, New York Times, did they just see this video?
She just walks away. Okay, not gonna. But the coroners say this is wrong.
They cut back in.
Wait for it.
Do you remember this, Kirk? This
I'm listening.
This is from my home state, Illinois.
I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if technically, even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
They always run away.
It's like the Looney Tunes music.
So what did you want to say?
I think that's a good place to stop it because, like, that's, okay. I mean, there's only a few minutes left in any system time. But come on, how many times have I played those clips?
Too many. I can't stand it. So,
but here's the thing. Nobody heard it, okay? Because anytime anybody replayed anything like that or tried to say, hey, what's this from COVID with it? You were censored. You were smushed down into the ground like a bug.
I was unfriended. Blocked, yelled at, said I was killing grandma, almost the same way promoting the film Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
You're a pedophile.
Right? These people will always accuse you of the things they're doing.
Yep.
That's interesting, is it not? Now, I want to know where the actuaries went to. Did they kill them all?
Okay.
Remember the actuaries?
So this is going to be the next bridge, Elizabeth. Great, great question. This excess death issue and insurance companies having to pay out, they're going to squawk. They're going to get paid. They're not going to pay all those. Yeah.
But they said,
we're
in a catastrophic death wave at the moment. And now they're acting like it's okay. And even it kind of pissed me off that Jimmy Dore is laughing so much about this because I'm still
if you don't laugh, you cry.
Yeah. And he's whistling past the graveyard, too. It's like we tried to tell you guys this and nobody would freaking listen.
Jimmy Dore didn't even listen. He's vaccine injured.
Wow. No.
Do you know that? Do you guys know that Jimmy Dore is vaccine injured?
Yes.
Well,
paying attention.
Why he's retarded? Because you know what? This is not over, and no one's talking about it. There's just too many funerals to go to. People are blowing up with these horrible blood clots, and they're dying left and right,
The excess death rate is dropping off because a lot of people aren't getting the vaccines.
It's not. No. People who got the vaccine are now just dying from it.
Right.
The amount of deaths in our community and in our family are astounding. I'm sorry. Mm-mm. That's why I want to know where the actuaries are, because those are the numbers that will squash this bullshit little propaganda fest that Jimmy Dore was, and the New York Times and everybody's trying to make it sound like, oh, everything's okay, nothing happened, nothing. Don't get mad at us for nothing, because now we're seeing the residual effects of this whole psyop of medicine. Here, put a mask on and it lowers your oxygen level. Oh, now we can put you on the ventilator. And are you really sick? Well, we don't have antibiotics anymore. That's from the dark ages, the prednisone. The Z-pack.
Well, we know that antibiotics don't work on viruses.
And nobody used it. Nobody used it. We had a fucking cold virus. Same cold virus we had before, except we weren't treating it like we used to. You didn't give them the steroids, the Z-pack, and the antibiotics, because you put spray shit in there. This was orchestrated genocide, and it needs to be called out for what it was.
All right. All right. We're a little behind schedule, so I'd like to it's a great conversation, but we have to move on. I'm going to play I want to talk about the censorship hearing, right? And a couple people were invited to testify as witnesses. RFK Jr., I can't remember the other two's names, but one was a Breitbart journalist who was censored because of the laptop from hell. I believe the lead lawyer from the Louisiana-Missouri case. And then one, you know, witness.
I saw one clip of Bobby, and it sounded really good. I'd love to see more of that.
Well, and I think the most striking thing that everybody should take away from this hearing is that the Democrats were venomous about censoring RFK Jr. at a hearing about censorship, you know, like that. And so I'd like to play one clip, and this will lead into the good news report, also from Jimmy Dore. But here we go, 3, 2, 1.
So RFK Jr. got invited to give testimony in front of Congress on censorship. And what's kind of ironic is that the Democrats tried to censor him from the – there was over 100 Democrats signed a letter saying that they shouldn't allow him to testify in front of Congress. They wanted to at a censorship hearing.
Yeah.
They wanted to censor him over censorship.
It's a censorship hearing. They're going to have some censorship. What do you think it is, a no censorship hearing?
So this woman doesn't get to vote in Congress, but she's a she's the ranking member of whatever this committee is. And she's a Democrat. And what? Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, her name is Stacey Plaskett. Where's she from? She's a non-voting member.
Yeah, let me look at her
again.
Virgin
Islands.
Is it the Virgin Islands?
Yeah, you are correct.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. And so she's trying to make a career of herself by being the biggest Democratic hack in the world. And so she's against free speech, and she wants to censor everybody.
Importantly, again, I go back to just the fact that we are creating a platform.
A platform.
For this kind of discussion, not about the censorship, not about free speech, but the content of some of that speech that we are amplifying in this room.
So, yeah, she doesn't have a problem with speech, just the content of speech.
Yeah.
What?
Say something empty, it's fine.
Yeah, saying something. But if there's actual content to what you're saying, then we have to censor it. This is the modern day. I would think these were the craziest right-wing Christian Republicans from the 1950s and 60s and 70s wanting to censor everything. No, these are just run-of-the-mill Democrats now are the most maniacal, authoritarian, dictator-like censoring people.
They all sound like Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep. And so here, and she talks about platform. She does that thing again.
I mean, if you say, oh my God.
Hey, here's some speech. I'd like to use this platform to amplify Kurt. Did you know that Stacey Plaskett, that very woman, she solicited donations from Jeffrey Epstein?
Mm-hmm.
Every Jeffstein?
You mean before he was convicted? No, after.
Well, a guy's got money.
After he was convicted of sexually assaulting minors. Google it. Google it.
Googled.
And, you know, in life and in politics, I mean, look how she comes across.
Importantly, again, I go back to just the fact that we are creating a platform for these, for this kind of discussion. Not
so is it, in politics and in life, Kurt, it's the worst extremists that come across as the most reasonable. She seems reasonable. So here they go into they wanted to censor his whole thing, and but then they were going to give him 10 minutes to speak, and then, well, let's listen to what the Democrats did.
I know that witnesses usually have 5 minutes. I see 10 minutes on the board. Is it going to be 10 minutes?
We're giving 5 minutes, but we're pretty low.
Hey, I see 10 minutes on the board. Why are you going to give him 10 minutes? You're going to give him 10 minutes? I see the witness has 10 minutes. I'd like to do what I did to Bernie Sanders in the primaries.
With this, we'll let him go for...
I've seen you gavel down on quite a number of witnesses.
Given senators and former Democrat members of Congress and all kinds
He's
of...
Neither. Neither.
I'm just saying in past history.
Okay, okay.
So the chairman of the committee is saying, we've given... You know, people a lot more time. We have a leeway to do that. A lot of senators, a lot of ex-congressmen. We've given extra time. And then she goes, he's neither of those, RFK Jr. He's neither of those. And he goes, okay, all right, we'll cut his time down to 5 minutes. Right? Isn't that what he's...
We'll give you
the time for all the witnesses.
And if you want to cut him off and censor him some more, you're welcome to do it.
Oh, that's not my job. That's your job. Why not?
Ah, he gets a nice laugh, and she tries to talk. She tries to step on his laugh. Mr. Chairman, please, I'd like to redirect to a still shot of an empty Trump podium.
He's threatened the witness so that they can not want to be a witness.
Mr. Kennedy is recognized for his opening statement. We'll give him 5 minutes, more or less, and then we'll move to the next one. Mr. Kennedy, go right ahead.
So... I want to show you one more attempt at censoring him before I show you his opening statement. So here they are trying to censor him again.
I'd like to raise a point of order.
And lady, state a point of order.
Point of order pursuant to House Rule 11, Clause 2, which Mr. Kennedy is violative of, I move that we remove into executive session because Mr. Kennedy has repeatedly made despicable anti-Semitic and anti-Asian comments as recently as last week. Rule 11, Clause 2 says...
So she's trying to shut down the entire hearing right now.
You know what I don't like about her? She doesn't use enough hair gel.
Jesus.
It's a toxic oil.
What is she doing? Anyway, oh my God. Anyway, here she's trying to shut down the whole thing. She's trying to say this shouldn't be done in public. A censorship hearing should be done in private.
I like how hard she's working, even though there will be no consequences for any of them for these hearings ever.
Ever.
You can't even have a meaningless tell about how you got censored and let that go, and nobody, the media ain't going to pick it up.
No. Nope. So right now she wants to make a censorship hearing private. She wants to make this a bigger joke than a DSA meeting.
Whenever it is asserted by a member of the committee that the evidence or testimony at a hearing may tend to defame, degrade, or incriminate any person, or it is asserted by a witness that the evidence or testimony that the witness would give at a hearing may tend to defame, degrade, or incriminate the witness, and it goes on. Mr. Kennedy, among many other things, has said, I know a lot now about bioweapons. We put out hundreds of millions of dollars into ethnically targeted microbes. The Chinese have done the same thing. In fact, COVID-19, there was...
So the thing she doesn't want said at an open meeting, she's reading at an open meeting. This is the stuff she's afraid of being said. She's the one saying it.
She's just being a platform. Oh, if you say platform, please just...
Argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. The races that are most immune to COVID-19 are...
A lady making a motion or a speech.
I made a motion to move into executive session because Mr. Kennedy's testimony...
Mr. Chairman, I move to table the motion.
Gentleman from Kentucky...
So she's making a motion to completely censor the hearing and put it into private, the censorship hearing go private, and the reason she gives is that RFK Jr. might say something that defames someone.
By the way, the thing that it targets people of color the hardest, they all said that the whole pandemic.
I know, Kurt, I know. So let's go on to...
Move the table.
So now...
Okay, so you have...
So that's our friend Kim Iverson. So now... They went on to, so Dade, he goes, I want to table that. So you know what that means? So that means that her motion to move it from a public hearing to private, they want to table that. I mean, let's not act on it.
What?
Let's table it. Let's have this hearing. Meaning that's what I think. Table means you postponed action on it. That's what I think tabling means.
Oh, I was hoping that she'd go sit under a table.
I'm not
room.
From, yeah. I don't know about the – I'm not up on the Robert's Rules of Order, parliamentary rule of order, but I'm pretty sure that's what that means. So now they're going to take a vote to see if they can tell Debbie Wasserman Schultz to shut up. That's what this is.
Table it.
Thank the gentleman from North Dakota.
So they had a vote on that, and they shut her up. So they had the vote, and they voted to shut Debbie Wasserman Schultz up and to let RFK Jr. speak. But before they did that, they go to this guy, Massey, who I love. Watch this.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. The irony and cognitive dissonance from the other side of the aisle is deafening. You could cut it with a knife. They are at the same time denying that censorship is occurring, but suggesting that there's more material that needs to be censored. This is a hearing on censorship that began with an effort, with a formal motion from the other side of the aisle to censor Mr. Kennedy. They do not want him to speak, yet that is the topic of this hearing. They have kept him from speaking. A collusion between the government and private organizations. Mr. Kennedy, in your opening statement, you introduced us to this word malinformation. Can you tell us more about this made-up word, what it means, and some of the things that...
So we'll get back to that. Come see our live shows. We're going to be in Chicago, Rosemont, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, New York City, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, Stamford, Toronto, Toledo, Detroit, St. Louis, and more. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for those tickets.
It's sad. There was a San Diego date announced, but I think they backed out of that. So, but
wow, that's
okay.
A bummer.
Yeah.
Come to Rosemont.
So censorship at a censorship hearing. I wish you guys could see my shocked face.
It's theater of the absurd.
It is.
To think that just because I said so, wow. And where's she been? Where's she been all these years? I haven't seen her forever.
Wasserperson Schultz?
Yeah.
Burning
crawled
in hell.
Out from under the rock.
Hiding.
Crawled out from under the rock. And she looks like it, too. She looked like hell. I saw that picture of her.
She even wore
a snakeskin shirt on.
Yeah, a snakeskin shirt. Like, come on, these people have to tell us.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. This is, like, you know, it reminds me of, you know, how the Pharisees plotted against Christ.
Yes.
And it's like anyone, and you don't even have to have a name, anyone who dare to do what is right, who tries to do what's right, whether it be Trump or Kennedy or anyone, any one of these doctors that have been killed and mysteriously died, anyone who's dared to do anything right is attacked by these vipers. They just can't stand it.
Absolutely.
Unreal.
Well, we are a bit over for the good news report. So, Mom, do you want to take it away?
I'm ready. Looking forward to chatting with you guys. So, yeah, I do have some information about the censorship hearings that that just happened this week. There was a lot of hearings up on Capitol Hill. But just to start, the Emma Jo Morris was the Breitbart journalist who testified under oath. It was in particular on the Hunter Biden laptop. And yes, government censorship, this is the title of censorship hearing, Emma Jo Morris. Yes, government censorship of Hunter Biden's story was election interference. And I don't know if I can share sound. But the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop from hell was a form of election interference, Breitbart News politics editor Emma Jo Morris said during the select subcommittee on weaponization of the federal government's hearing on censorship during a line of questioning from Rep. Elise Stefanik. Both agreed the story had proven to be 100% factually accurate. And Morris confirmed that the FBI obtained Hunter Biden's laptop a full 10 months before her story on Hunter Biden's laptop broke. So this goes directly to Bill Barr. They have had this laptop 10 months before they wrote, posted the story. So, and they buried it 6 feet under and then called it Russian disinformation. And not just coerced, they demanded that all the major social media sites and computer companies like Google take the story down, and not even private messages. They stopped people from sending it in their private messages. Of course, you weren't allowed to post it. That's for dang sure. But even in their private messages. Isn't it also true that we know now that the FBI's Foreign Influence Task Force coerced, they use the word coerced, social media companies into an alleged forthcoming hack and leak operation? So leading up to the story coming out, they knew the story was going to come out. They knew these reporters were on their job doing what reporters are supposed to do, and they had already primed the pump with the social media companies, telling them there's going to be some forthcoming Russian hack and leak operation, and we want you to censor it because it's going to be election interference from Russia. That's exactly what happened, according to Morris. And then she went on to say that, do you believe that it changed the course of the election? Morris said this was illegal government censorship to protect and prop up Joe Biden on the eve of the 2020 election. And according to polling of people who are now made aware of the Hunter Biden laptop story, 53% would have changed their vote, including 61% of Democrats. So they changed the course of history. And we know they cheated their asses off anyway. There was a ton that came out that of course we're already aware of, but so back to this is Mom, and I'm going to present the good news report. The first thing that always comes up is why aren't people talking about this? Because they are censoring the censorship information. Not one of the major news networks posted or showed any of interviews or even talked about it on quote-unquote mainstream news. So they censored it. The second thing is, the other question that always comes up is, will anybody pay? I don't believe anybody is going to pay. Almost doesn't matter at this point, because probably not. It's not the point anymore. The point is that more and more and more people are becoming aware that the conspiracy theorists were right all along, especially when the New York Times comes out with an article. And again, he was right. The Atlantic posted this stuff months and months ago, and then they buried it. So what happens on Twitter and what happens on Facebook, what happens on all these social media companies is that people post, or the authors post it, and then people repost or retweet or Instagram, and that's how an article gets buzz. But they buried it. They're going to bury this New York Times article, but New York Times will be able to say, well, we said, we finally admitted that this was happening. Okay, see this article? Same thing with the Atlantic. Same thing with the Atlantic, but here we go. The rewriting of COVID history has begun. Refuse to be duped. There's a picture of Jerry Nadler with a mask on his forehead above his glasses. He couldn't look more like an idiot if he tried. 2 years ago, when I was pushing back on COVID narratives, this is Just Mindy. She's one of the editors at Twitchy, which is one of my favorite sites. I almost virtually use three sites to get my news. I don't watch television anymore. It's Telegram. It's Twitter, and it's Twitch. Those are the ones I use. I don't even go on Truth Social that much. But 2 years ago, when I was pushing back on COVID narratives, and many people were, they were just getting censored, right? It was like the tree falling in the forest. and the vaccine that was not actually a vaccine, people told me when the truth came out, dissenters would attempt to rewrite history and pretend none of it happened. They would try to pretend schools weren't closed, proms weren't canceled, graduations called off, mask usage wasn't enforced, and grandparents left alone to die in nursing homes. So I expected the gaslighting to come, but maybe not quite so soon. So Tiffany Justice, who is a part of Moms for Liberty, she said, remember when they shut us in our houses and wouldn't let us go to the beach or the playground, and they tried to convince our kids that their breath was toxic and might kill their teachers? I do. Never again. And this, whoever this guy is, he's not a blue check, which doesn't really matter anymore. But he said, no, you don't, because this never happened. He's saying to a grown woman that just went through this that it didn't happen, that we imagined it. This is what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to gaslight us into oblivion. In a tweet calling for accountability, Moms for Liberty founder Tina Justice reminded readers of the atrocities COVID brought to the American family. A person who calls himself a journalist decided he would call her out and basically assert she was insane. And he even said, I see some people who could better spend their $8 need to learn the difference between inconvenience and tyranny. That's what he's calling it. We were inconvenienced. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. As a matter of fact, Elizabeth sent me an article today, and I have it up, and I'm going to read it, because people are still fighting back. I hope it's still open. Of course not. It's about a bunch of people that were arrested at the very beginning. Thank you for sending it to me, Elizabeth. I appreciate that, because it is good news. It says, College Town in Idaho will pay $300,000 to three Christian churchgoers who sued the city after being arrested for not wearing masks at an outdoor service during the pandemic.
You love it?
Yeah, I love it. Good news. Back in September 2020, brave principled Christians in Moscow, Idaho, peacefully gathered in the parking lot of the town hall to sing three short psalms. They did it to protect rights to get together, to worship, and to breathe freely during a time when government was widely trampling those rights and pastors and church elders were widely submitting to the lawlessness. It was just as much the church's fault for doing it. Three people in attendance were randomly handcuffed and led away by police, but the magistrate judge dismissed the city's case for their arrest, while the U.S. District Court Judge Morrison C. England Jr. said they should never have been arrested in the first place. The three citizens sued city officials in March 2021, alleging their First and Fourth Amendment rights were violated by the undue and heavy-handed response. The town just settled the civil case for $300,000. These people are heroes, bright lights of reason and hope during a dark period of irrational fear and oppression. We were oppressed. And they're about to get paid. So back to the gaslighting, okay? So this and this will tension that we'll go back to what we originally were speaking about at the beginning of this show of people jumping, dogpiling, if you try to say that people dying with no loved ones by their side, the inability to properly bury and say goodbye to loved ones, and children losing years of their childhood was apparently just an inconvenience to Walker. He said, I'm sorry, but your favorite public space being closed for a few weeks, pay attention to that, when hospitals were overwhelmed with COVID patients is not the end of liberty in America. It wasn't just a few weeks. It was years. The myth of real lockdown in America is just that, a myth. You see what they're going to try to do to us? I will tell you that this guy got ratioed into oblivion on Twitter, okay? And so guess what? Even though these shouters and howlers and foot stompers are going to try to gaslight us, that's what COVID actually did. People had plenty of time at home being oppressed to start looking and reading and understanding the information themselves. You might ask why COVID? Donald John Trump. It's still not working, by the way. He's leading Joe Biden at 55 or 45%. He's beating Ron DeSantis by a mile. But there was an article posted today. It said Joe Biden's reelection campaign is non-existent, and that should terrify you. Joe Biden has more cash on hand than any other possible 2024 presidential candidate. Ironically, he also has no reelection campaign to speak of. You think an incumbent president flush with cash would already be doing the groundwork to prepare for the general election, especially given he doesn't have to spend anything to win the primary?
Yeah,
so why isn't Biden?
Because he knows he doesn't have to.
Well, he doesn't have to because it's in the bag. They got their cheating AI systems already set up.
So
it is
scary, okay, because they pulled this back during COVID, remember? The guy didn't freaking campaign, and supposedly he got 81 million votes. They're setting up the steal again. Okay, so that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. You guys obviously know that I am a Trump supporter. I would crawl across broken glass to vote for my favorite president. No question about it. I like Ron DeSantis. I think he's a good guy. I certainly am not, if it's between him and Trump, of course I'm going to vote for Trump. I love Trump. Okay. I was having a Twitter fight the other day with some DeSantis supporters. And one of them is somebody who I really respect is a guy named Kurt Schlichter. He writes for Town Hall. We fight all the time, me and Kurt. Anyway, this time we were really fighting. I don't think he knows who he was fighting with because I'm on my fifth account now. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Not the
you
point.
You have a public account? Oh, my goodness.
My account got nuked the same day as the President of the United States, along with General Flynn, all of us. And every time I go back in, they catch me. Anyway. Having said that, it's better since Elon Musk took over. I haven't had any accounts nuked. I think I've got like four now that I did backups for my backups. Not the point. What he said was Trump had a real problem picking people to surround himself with. It's true. And second, he should have known this was coming and prepared for it, the 2020 steal. And the question is, is he preparing this time? He better be, because they're going to do it again. This man isn't even campaigning because he can't. And you and I, we all know it. Joe Biden is a dementia patient, and he's weakening every day.
Well, I think he's actually a robot. The way he walks like those robots.
They do have him. They do have him drugged up to.
Watch him on the world
his
stage.
Appearances, yes.
And it's all, the leaders, it's almost like they know it, and they're just like, they can't believe they're playing this game. I'm like, this is unreal.
Now you know where we get the term lizard people. He's a reptile. He's a reptile, and we know it. So watch out for more. It's coming. They're going to try to steal it again. Is Trump ready for that this time? That's the question, not whether he would be a good president, because he was an excellent president. He's the only candidate that's saying, no wars, and he's still saying it.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that today I have an article where it says that he doesn't even want he doesn't think it's a good idea to let Ukraine into NATO, because that would be a provocation. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so he was the one president that for the entire time he was in office that we didn't start any new wars. And that's why they hated him.
And they downplayed his Middle Eastern treaty.
Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords.
They acted like that was nothing. That was huge. Huge.
They couldn't say anything good about him. That's what I'm saying. War machine hates this man, they're going to do whatever they can to stop him. They're getting ready to bring another case against my favorite president. They're going to file a case for him for January 6th.
I know, I saw that.
Uh-huh. So there's evidence, though, that shows that Joe Biden was planning to do the exact same thing if Trump won, to bring an extra slate of electors, the thing that they're suing him for in Georgia. They have evidence that he was going to do that. Okay, so now we're going to do a little bit of Pedogate stuff, and I'm going to finish up with Anthony Fauci. So let's do some Pedogate stuff. We have so here it is about the alternate slate of electors. They're suing Republicans for doing the exact same thing. The Democrat Michigan Attorney General just charged 16 of the 2020 Trump electors with 8 felonies each. These people will not stop. But Biden had a plan to do the exact same thing. It's not illegal to do that. Just saying. Pop quiz. Who is Richard Branson?
He's the billionaire. The billionaire that runs Virgin Airlines. He was
right. Richard Branson had breakfast with Jeffrey Epstein 3 years after the pedophile was jailed for child prostitution, court documents said.
He also owns an island. All right, go ahead.
Here we go. He also owns an island. Yeah. Bombshell legal documents seen by the Mail on Sunday reveals that in 2011, Epstein emailed his private banker, Jeff Staley, and the former Labor Cabinet Minister, Pete Mandelson, to tell them of his alleged meeting with Sir Richard Branson. So here we go. So there's more. Records show billionaire financier Leon Black paid $62 million to avoid prosecution by U.S. Virgin Islands over Epstein ties. The Jeffrey Epstein trafficking ring saga keeps shining. They're one by one, they're releasing the names on that list. Keep shining light on the behavior of the rich and powerful worldwide. Remember that thing where they said, you think it's a group of elite pedophiles that are running the world? Remember the lady when she turned into a demon when she was interviewing Trump? Okay.
Yeah,
Public records just released revealed that the embattled billionaire financier Leon Black has reached a settlement early this year with the U.S. Virgin Islands Territory government to avoid being dragged into the vortex of the lawsuits raging in federal court. Private equity billionaire Leon Black agreed in January to pay $62.5 million to the U.S. Virgin Islands to be released from potential claims related to the territory's investigation of the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking ring. Black had a close relationship with Epstein for decades, socializing together and sharing deep financial ties as the late sex offender gave him a tax advice, helped with buying artwork and many other professional services. The billionaire reportedly paid, listen to this, Mr. Epstein $158 million for financial planning. Did you guys know that Epstein was a financial planner? The pair cut business ties in 2018 because of a fee dispute.
Of course we did.
Yeah. Okay. So there's more on Pedogate. Lots, actually, this week. Keep going and going. It says the U.S. has a human trafficking problem, and the answer is you. An article by Uncover DC. Our nation has been abuzz with human trafficking since The Sound of Freedom's release. While there is not much new information in the movie, it has brought the scourge of human trafficking to the forefront of our minds. That's what it takes, is releasing movies like that, just like the argument that you made to that woman. Okay? We've been howling into, the tree falls in the forest business, into the vortex. I believe millions and millions of people got woken up, but movies like this, a picture is worth 1,000 words. I've been involved in anti-trafficking for over a decade before it was vogue. This was written by, where's this person's tag? I need to give this person courtesy, and I don't see the name. Let me see. I'll go to the bottom, because I'm not going to read the whole thing. They usually show the author, but they're not showing the author. Oh. Perhaps it's the guy that did the movie. I don't know. I work with survivors of human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse. I've sat with victims and heard stories of little children being tortured in states in our nation, in our nation. But it wasn't until I saw the social response to the Sound of Freedom that it clicked with me. Our only chance of winning this battle is through local action. Novel, right? Definitely not. General Flynn has been saying for a while, and it's finally catching on. So this person is going to give us some tips about what we can do right in our own backyard. Human trafficking rarely looks like what you see in the movies, at least not at the level where you can have an impact. It looks like your child's friend with hollow eyes, the poor single mom on the bad side of town, the wife with an abusive husband, the foster kids being moved from home to home, and the teens called runaways. It was on a random community Facebook page when I first saw it, teens gone missing in a small Midwest community. I immediately had questions, and when I asked them, the response was, well, they were runaways. Okay. I was shocked. Children don't just run away without a reason. I kept telling them anyone that would listen. So this person goes on to say that foster children are often targeted for trafficking. So this is where we can help. In 2021, NMEC estimated that one out of every six children reported missing were trafficked. Okay, so they're missing from the foster care system and they get trafficked. One study found that running from foster care was the most common pathway to experiencing sex trafficking. This was an article from 2015, or a research article. While another found that of youth who were confirmed or strongly likely to have experienced sex trafficking, 83% had at least one runaway episode. So that's the way that we can help, is we can reach out to local foster care systems and offer to mentor, offer to even though the foster care system sucks, at least they're not, you know, out on the streets and then getting taken. More pedo-gate stuff. The case surrounding New Hampshire's first transgender state representative has taken a horrifying turn shortly after he was charged with a disturbing set of crimes. The disgraced ex-lawmaker, 39-year-old Stacey Lawton, was arrested last month on a slew of child pornography charges. The state alleges that Lawton, born Barry Charles Lawton, was sent explicit photos of young children mid-diaper change by his former intimate partner, daycare worker Lindsay Groves. If you think the heinous machinations against defenseless kids could get any sicker, buckle up. Complaint filed against the former legislator Monday contains text messages allegedly exchanged between Lawton and Groves. The depravity of these messages become instantly clear once seen. I'm not going to read them. They're disgusting, and they're talking about the babies in this Groves care. She's a daycare operator.
That's what I was just about to ask. Because honestly, it's like, okay, so sending pictures of changing diapers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe it was a full-on blowout. What is the other evidence?
Okay, text going back and forth. Gross.
Yeah.
I took these for you today, so I'm horny. Lawton. Oh, you said sexting. Lawton, is that a little girl? Groves, I wasn't being serious. Yes, that's a little girl. Lawton, I like it. I would like to see more of the pussy, but I'd like it fucking hot. Is that one of the girls we get to play with?
No.
That little boy pulling up his shirt looks like, in that text, the boy was getting a diaper on. That's why his shirt is up. Lawton, oh, did the girl give you an issue? Groves, no, the boy didn't either. Other conversations, too vulgar and explicit to republish, can be seen through a link to the original criminal complaint. If you don't believe in the death penalty for nonviolent crimes, you might change your mind after reading the details of these two depraved individuals. A total of three minor victims have been identified so far, all of which have been exploited and the abuse recorded and allegedly received with enthusiasm by Lawton. There's more.
No,
so do you remember me talking about the Rolling Stones article last week where that they had tried to protect this ABC News reporter by leaving out the reason why he was arrested? He was sentenced.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's going to plead guilty. in the sex crimes case. So the shot and chaser, Trump screamed Sound of Freedom, seeking to rally evangelicals around fear of child trafficking. That's the shot. Chaser,
those,
former ABC.
Those evil Trump supporters again,
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Republicans pounce. Yeah, I know. Former ABC News reporter James Gordon meeked to plead guilty in federal child porn case. So they're talking about those silly people getting all scared about child sex trafficking, and this guy is a piece of you-know-what. The stuff that they got him with is gross. It's disgusting. He needs to he needs to suffer the death penalty. And here we have Mitt Romney excited about National Hot Dog Day. He loves them inside buns. He loves them outside of buns. Hot dogs are his favorite meat. There's a picture of him in the Capitol wandering around with a hot dog in his hand, talking about how much he loves hot dogs.
What's this guy's name?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt? Oh, he's – yeah.
Ever heard of him? No, I'm kidding.
I've heard of him, and I'm so disgusted with him. At
it's
this
gross.
Point.
But then we all know where, mm-hmm. why, because it's because of adrenochrome. Apparently, well, what do we have here, says Laura Logan, the NIH testing the effects of adrenochrome on humans. So it's not a conspiracy. My question, where did the NIH get this adrenochrome from? Where did they get the adrenochrome they harvested, ACC, to their study?
Yeah.
Effects of adrenochrome and epinephrine on humans. So that part's real. Yep. Okay. So there's a PubMed article where they tested it on humans. I sure wish I could play this clip. Can, right, Danielle?
Yeah, send it to me.
Okay. So let me see. Can I put it in Danielle Ice on Telegram?
Sure. Or Seeds of Change. Yeah, whatever you got, I can find it.
It's kind of funny. And then I've got two more after him. Where are you? Where'd you go? Here you are. I just put it in there. Okay, so we'll close with that. Because I do have a new folder in Telegram. I saved it for Everything is Stupid. Apparently, Bill Barr was just about as dirty as they come.
Oh, I had such high hopes.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. Bill Barr knew all along that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. Bill Barr knew all along.
Do you know that he's a pedo-gate victim?
Bill Barr?
Yeah. His dad ran the Dalton School. He's the one that hired Jeffrey Epstein to teach at the Dalton School. And so I was like, all right, he's going to go one way or the other. He's going to be on our side and help stop this stuff, or he's not.
And now you know.
Heartbroken. Go ahead.
Hundreds of January 6 rioters have been charged with obstruction of an official proceeding, but the charge, which could be applied to former President Donald J. Trump, has come under scrutiny. The count, formerly known in the penal code as 18 U.S.C. 1512, makes it a crime to corruptly obstruct, impede, or interfere with any official government proceeding and carries a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. In more than 300 January 6 riot cases, prosecutors have used the law to describe the central event that day, the disruption of the Electoral College vote certification. In April, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia upheld the use of the obstruction count, but the panel reserved judgment on a separate challenge to the law, one involving the definition of the word corruptly. Mr. Smith's election interference inquiry is not the first time prosecutors have used 1512 C2 as the basis for scrutinizing Mr. Trump. The provision was also instrumental in the investigation by, wait for it, Robert S. Mueller III, the special counsel who examined whether Mr. Trump obstructed efforts to look for ties between Russia and his 2016 presidential campaign. And remember, we had this discussion at the time, that you can't obstruct something that never happened.
Uh-huh.
Same. Some legal experts have said that Mr. Trump could mount an attack against the obstruction charge if it is brought by Mr. Smith, Jack Smith, the special counsel, by arguing that he truly believed he'd been robbed of victory by fraud in the election and therefore could not be accused of having acted corruptly. So they're going to bring this case to try, you know, throw everything at the and the kitchen sink at the wall, because this guy is going to kick anybody's ass, of course, barring 81 million votes worth of cheating again. I don't think they can get away with it twice. I really, really, really don't. So there's that. The last thing before we play the clip, this is a thread about should we play the clip last? This is the one about Anthony Fauci.
Up to you. I've got it queued up.
Okay. I'm going to do Anthony Fauci, and then I'm going to go out with the clip.
Roger.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top-paid U.S. federal employee, has developed bioweapons for the Pentagon since 2002. You guys might already know this, but I just thought I'd highlight it. In 2014, Obama shut down 18 of Fauci's gain-of-function experiments after lab leaks. And 300 top scientists complained about his dangerous bioweapons research. I guess Robert Kennedy Jr. has been going after this guy for a while, since 2014.
Yes, I've got his book. I've got a signed copy of his book called The Real Anthony Fauci. I'd love to lend it to you. Just don't mess it up because it's signed. All of the receipts are there, and one point that I'd like to make is that if this was untrue, could you imagine the defamation suit?
The lawsuit, the defamation suits. Yeah, it hasn't happened, has it?
Hasn't. Go ahead.
So they shut them down because there were multiple leaks from labs. Three viruses escaped from U.S. labs, so he moved his bioweapons research to the Wuhan lab. Even Elon Musk jumped in and said, accurate community notes, right? Because this is all in the book. But Elon Musk wants to know if it's true because he's, like, tripping. They took the money that Cheney gave them from the Patriot Act, $2.2 billion, and then they funneled it through NIH, and it all went to Anthony Fauci. So beginning in 2002... Anthony Fauci got a 68% raise from the Pentagon. Robert Kennedy tells Jimmy Dore that the CIA, DOD, and Dr. Anthony Fauci moved their bioweapons research to the Wuhan lab after Obama shut them down. Fauci funded the study that taught the Chinese military scientists everything in China is dual use, which means that they can be used for one thing, but it can also be used as a bioweapon. Jimmy Dore, Robert Kennedy Jr. tells Jimmy Dore anthrax was mailed to the two senators trying to block the Patriot Act in 2001, and the FBI discovered that the anthrax came from the CIA lab in Fort Detrick. By the time they figured it out, they'd already passed the Patriot, and I'm not going to click all the outside links. I don't want to go out of this thread. But they found out it was the CIA that sent the anthrax to our senators. By 2003, the Bush administration was requesting $2 billion in the annual budget for biodefense, and President George W. Bush announced in his State of the Union address an additional $6 billion for Project BioShield. The federal government spent $60 million on non-military biodefense research in fiscal year 2001 and $317 million in fiscal year 2002. The Bush administration has asked for about $2 billion for the current fiscal year. So they've been funding these labs since Christ came home from Chicago. But they have the receipts.
Mm-hmm.
How Dick Cheney created Anthony Fauci. With the stroke of Bush and Cheney's, all United States biodefense efforts, classified or unclassified, were placed under the aegis of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Fauci now had a virtual carte blanche to build his weapons. Well, supposedly it's to defend us, but we got to know what's in them, right, to defend against them, don't we? So if you have any, if there are any, have any interest in a lot of the stuff we talked about today, there's a really great account on Telegram, and it's Kenokia the Great. I can spell it. If you don't follow anybody else, he posts pretty rarely, so it's not going to be a bunch of crap, messing you up.
Yeah.
But
please spell for the chat.
I can do that. Okay. No. Now I can't find it. Anyway.
That's okay.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Where is it? Okay, here it is. I just had it. I just had it open. Where is it? Anyway, but it's Kenokia the Great.
Nothing.
Okay. And so I think that's all I have today other than this really cool clip. Now, who you're about to hear is Greg Gutfeld, and he's on Fox News, which, again, I don't watch news anymore, but I get clips from somebody called the Midnight Rider Channel, and this one was kind of fun. Go, take it away.
All right, here we go. Hold on. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Marjorie Taylor Greene sparked outrage during House hearings by showing explicit photos from Hunter Biden's laptop. Horrified Dems immediately seized the images and sent them to the nearest children's library.
That was good.
This week, a tornado wrecked a Pfizer plant in North Carolina. So it turns out God doesn't trust the booster shots either. Yeah. And finally, records show that LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, a one-time guest on Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island, donated nearly $700,000 to Joe Biden's campaign fund. But I guess 700 grand is mere child's play to him.
Ba-dum-bum. I mean, we let Jimmy Dore do it.
So I love Greg Gutfeld. He's really funny, and he totally gets it. And that's all I got today other than to remind everyone that while things may look out of control, God hasn't surrendered his authority. He's still loving us and taking care of us, and he's still having this – as John Solomon said, it looks like a dam is breaking and we're going to be flooded with information. And that's actually directly from someone who works in the Biden administration. So will anyone pay? I don't know. At this point, it doesn't matter anymore. The simple fact is what matters, right? I want you guys to all have a blessed week. Pray for me. Lots going on in my life with my health and with all kinds of – with my employment. And so I covet your prayers.
All right. You have them.
We love you, darling. We will pray for you. Everybody.
All right. Thank you.
We are.
I love you, Mom. I'll talk to you soon.
We love you guys. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Take care of your mama. You're lucky you get your mama.
Yeah.
Take good care of her.
Yeah. Because honestly, there's a lot of people whose families are you know,
I don't know anyone who has their mom and dad anymore. It's scary.
Yeah.
That's where I get mad at when they lie like that. They lie about how the – no. More people have died than at any given time ever. You lie. Because I don't know. Everybody, their parents are gone. And we're not that old. They're all gone. So really, you know, you're lucky. She's a blessing. She's a blessing. Spend as much time. Take good care of her.
So quickly,
someday
like.
You'll miss her. It'll be
I know.
Me.
I feel like I've missed her.
Like, oh, my God. I've missed her already. And she's gone. I'm like, damn it. I wanted to ask my mom about Roosevelt. And I'm like, oh, she's gone.
I missed her from my childhood.
Yeah.
You know, it's really my young adult and two present that I've had her. Right. So I already know what it feels like. I, you know, and maybe that's a blessing and a curse that I know what it feels like to lose parents before I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they were still alive. My dad's dead now, and he
okay,
was.
Okay, I was going to ask. I didn't know.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah,
know
not so long ago.
Was, okay.
A couple of years.
I'm sorry.
No, but.
Funny.
I don't know if this is better or worse, but I didn't know him until I was 18. He left. He blew up a meth lab in California.
Mm-hmm.
Was I think I told you one of the original inventors of meth as we know it now. Hell's Angels, 1970s.
Right.
And left.
Yeah, that was terrible.
He blew up a meth lab and left when I was a baby, like an infant, right? So. I did not get to know him. I just learned a story until I was 18 and slowly got to know him. And then he became a close Facebook follower, you know, like, which is weird. And died.
Wow.
Yeah. And died of the same thing my grandma died of, which is COPD. So we had a later in life, we had a more tumultuous relationship than when I was a child, because he was just kind of a memory, you know, a talking point.
Right.
But then we became friends, and I actually grew to love this man. And then he died, and that was like he died twice, if that makes any sense. You know.
It does. Yeah, it's sad.
But my mom.
Do you have good memory?
I do. I do.
Because I heard a great quote. Oh, my gosh, is this Lenny? No, it's not. All these people, I'm scrolling and old friends are popping. I'm like, I know these people from a long time ago. But the memories. When people are gone, the memories are what you finally look back on, and those are the ones that mean the most.
And to that point,
you know?
I'm glad I got to form the memories of my father in later life.
Yeah.
Same with my mom.
Yeah. And it kind of is true, because in your darkest times, you look back on these. You look back on these memories, and they can get you through the darkest times. You just people can't take your memories away. They can take everything else away from you, but they can't. Those are things they can't steal from you. Your feelings, your memories.
Well, and again, let me just re-clarify. I didn't have memories of my parents as children. It's not like I sat at the kitchen table with my mom and my dad and we ate spaghetti and you know, we were the Bizarro family. Because that's my birth certificate. I'm Danielle Bizarro. That was my last name on my birth certificate. I did not know Robert Bizarro. I've got about three memories of my whole childhood of my father. You know, as a child, but as an adult, I grew to love him as an adult. And I was empathetic as a child, right? Same with my mom. I was empathetic. Apathetic. I was apathetic to both of my parents as children. But as an adult, I learned to love them, to cherish them, to honor them in a way that I was apathetic to as a child, if that makes sense. Both of them. My father's gone, you know, and my mom's still here. So to your point of love her, honor her, cherish her, you know, I do. And in a rare way that most people don't have towards their parents.
Well, that's good. That's good. Oh, I must say though that you're not that different from a lot of people. They don't remember their childhood. Like my sister, she has no memories at all. So that's, I don't know whether or not that's a normal.
No, yeah. I have infinite memories of my childhood, not of my parents, because they were literally not there. Yeah. So, yeah, I get you. But no, but not to detract from your point, but, you know, go ahead.
that was my observation. I was like, I think kids are very, they're only focused upon their own little environment. And I think a lot of them are oblivious to what maybe true reality was, and they just have their own tunnel vision.
Agreed. And that actually speaks to even flawed parents, you know, like that to the fact that, you know, flawed parents still give their children, a sheltered environment, you know. Jimmy Dore calls them the cul-de-sac parents, like the people who, you know, don't understand that they were shielded away from the things that we know now.
Well, I think I just love, and I'm being sarcastic, how people will label every you know, they have the soccer moms and the helicopter parents and blah blah blah. It's you know, we had two kinds. It was, you know, you were raised by wolves or you're raised by an overprotective parent, and you'd need a therapist when you grew up. But I think
that's a true statement, for sure.
but that was pretty true. But I think kids are pretty damn resilient and make it through. It's hard, you know. They write all these books. My sister was reading books when she had a little one, and I was like, man, just let them be, let them grow. And it's like, she doesn't remember her childhood, so therefore she's going to. She's doomed to repeat the same mistakes that she's trying to.
Was she reading books to her children?
No. Oh, she was trying. She had a strong-willed child. She had a little. Her kid was like me, and it's like, well, go ahead, try to break genetics. But they have a very. She's got a great kid, great relationship. But it was like, it shouldn't be that hard raising a kid. You just love them for themselves, and watch them grow. But everybody takes a different direction, and now you're pummeled with, you're not a good parent unless you read and write books. You know, it's like, that's not how you raise kids. Kids, it's simple. Just add water, sunshine, and love. And you know, I don't know. That's my view, but
I agree.
You're raising wild heathens. I think I just saw this video, the TikTok invasion is coming through Facebook. I'm like, this is interesting. So here's this woman, and they like to, I don't know, whether they shame you as a society with these videos, because it's kind of almost like a public service announcement video, but it's entertaining. And it almost has that liberal view.
You want to send
like
it to me?
Liberal.
I can play it.
You know what? If I could find it, I think it went away. But I'll describe it to you real quick. She had, you know, wonderful, the kids are playing, and they're playing, you know, dragging trees, you know, bushes and branches with them, and walking and running, and in the, it was like a tampon commercial, or bike riding and tennis and at the beach and all this kind of stuff. And she's like,
Riding you know, horses in white pants.
Exactly. The full rich life of a video of all the things her children were doing, but they weren't well. I'm not raising well-behaved children, is what she's starting out with, and it's almost like, and that's not my point, because I want my children to be happy and thrive and enjoy their lives. So when you're around them, yeah.
Real quick,
like,
we've had a Skype caller call in three times now while we were playing videos.
Oh,
I don't know if it's the same. Well, no, we're not. Like, if they would like to be a part of the show, they can press one.
Yeah.
If they want to be
Come
a part of
in.
The show. But
Jump
if not, thank you for being here. But I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No.
If they raise their hand,
fine.
I'll cut you off. I promise.
Oh, no, please do cut me off and let me come in. But nonetheless,
no,
it was one of those you know, my children are going to be allowed to become real adults and not need therapy and la, la, la. And, but when you meet us as a family, you'll be like, why don't they discipline their kids and blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching this thing and I'm like, yeah, we need to find a better balance here, because you really do, you're doing your kids a disservice when other people don't want to be around them. You know, you need to learn them some tact, some manners, some boundaries. And I'm thinking, are we ever going to get this right as humans? Are we going to, you know, put, for the majority of people, for those that won't go out and read that book, like my sister went out and bought about the how to raise a strong-willed child, here they're going to probably raise their children off of TikTok videos like this that are like unlaid. It reminds me of like an unlaid video, the Democrat Democracy Now stuff that comes through sometimes. Had that flavor. And that's as close as they're going to get to how do you raise their kids and what's right and what's wrong. And it's like, well, we're going to keep fumbling through and never grasp onto the basics of it's okay to be different. It's okay not to be perfect. Don't always have to be this, that, and whatever. And the doctor, you need to run them off to a doctor to have them medicated because children have more energy than you and always will. That's why they made outside. And generally speaking, there was always like a fenced in area. The kids were allowed. You weren't allowed out of the yard. They knew it because I don't have the energy to go look for you. It was like those were the rules. Like my mom had chains on the door, so I couldn't get out. But I would take my high chair and I'd climb up and I'd undo the chain and I'd sneak out of the house at 3. I was a rough kid to raise for the poor woman who needed to take a nap in the afternoon. There, whose child is this? Nobody knew whose child I was.
Wow, like, there's so much to unpack there. I really hope you can find that.
I got my foot stuck in the back of someone's bike. I'm riding on the back of somebody's bike at 3 years old. And I'm screaming because my ankle got stuck and I'm wounded. And everyone's like, I don't know who her mom is. Nobody knew where I came from, but I was everywhere at everybody's house. And it was like, then we had to move out into the country because then I couldn't get hurt.
That's crazy.
Kind of like, it was crazy, but, you know, I bet you I would be like, you know, all kinds of medication these days. But you know what? You got kids, you can't sleep all the time. You know, kind of like you gotta be up because I never liked to take naps. And I was, a handful. She loved Mr. Rogers. When Mr. Rogers came to be, boom, she turned that TV on and then she could take a nap because I would be watching my TV shows. So then her life was happy and I wouldn't need to be outside. But
and this,
you
somebody
learned,
made a TikTok,
you know,
about this?
Pardon me?
This was a TikTok?
Oh, no, I'm talking about my childhood. I was the TikTok was over a long time ago. It was basically the woman that wasn't going to teach her children. She's going to let them run and laugh and be as loud as possible because she wanted them to be rich, full adults. And if you ever saw them in public.
So forgive me. I'm sorry.
Like,
maybe I was misunderstanding.
Yeah. No. I was describing my childhood, what my poor mother went through.
So you would
me.
Be in chains. That you would be in chains, and then wake up at some other location.
No. They had a thing. It was called a chain lock. You put it on the top of the door.
Oh, I know.
Chain
yep,
lock.
I gotcha. Okay.
Right. Okay. We had those because I couldn't. You know, I could unlock everything and get out, but that was way up high. Well, I would push my chair to go on, I could get out. Kind of like, no matter
what
they did, they, at that, yeah, at age 3. And I'd climb out of windows and, I wanted to go outside and play.
Holy shit.
You know, I had a life to live. I wasn't like, I didn't want to take a nap. I was
at 2
those,
or 3.
Yeah, at 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's an old
and, and that even got worse as the older I got. But,
oh, wow.
You know, it's a challenge. It's a hard, each child is different. But I think that, to go the medication route, the whole, I don't know, we've gotten, even we do with our pets, you know, it's like everybody's doing, they put them in these cages, they kennel them, they put muzzles on them, medicate your kids. It's like we're going about this all the wrong way. This is not what you do with sentient beings. Everyone needs to be able to be outside and achieve their happy place. Like I kind of, I don't know. I have my doubts as to whether we'll make it sometime, and so we'll get back to that even balance of where, you know, kids are kids and they should go run in the backyard or down by the creek, and you know, you keep an eye on them because you know there's some freak out there that wants to, is also looking for your child. That's a whole another element. But I think we should not steal our children's freedom and happy places to be a child just because society's become so dark. We should take the effort to go on that walk with them so they're not anywhere alone, but they still know what the creek looks like and they, you know, in your case, the ocean, you know, but there's always some, the funnest part about being a kid, you would go out and you'd build a fort in the trees, whether it be on the edge of the edge of the yard. You thought it was the wilderness. It wasn't. It was the boundary between the inner city. But it was like we would pretend we were out in the woods because it seemed like the woods. But those are things kids should have. On the group, I don't know how much we are letting them have that.
That's true.
Every kid has a little phone. They have a phone, and they're looking at the phone, and they're sitting in the back of the car. Or wherever they're at the McDonald's, they're looking at the phone.
Well, and especially the last few years, like even like a generation that was on the verge of collapse, completely collapsed, because now they're saying that if you go and see your friends, you're going to get sick. You know what I mean? Like, what does that do to a person's psyche, a child's psyche?
Exactly. Yeah. Their
development.
I've heard more people talk about their kids tried to kill themselves. And another friend of mine here, and did it over COVID. And I just had to roll my eyes. I'm like, well, do you blame her? We were, especially if both parents were locked into CNN and what this ridiculous school district was talking about. It was a never-ending hell for these kids. I think I probably would have wanted to kill myself too, because there was no light at the end of the tunnel for this ridiculous.
There was no way out.
You know?
And parents were watching this happen left and right, and it's like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, like children killing themselves on Zoom school calls. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my Lord,
what did you do?
Yeah, that. Scream.
And the worst part is that most likely, you know, the CDC called that a COVID death.
Yeah. Not a Fauci. A Fauci ouchie. Fucker. You know, it's like, this is where I'm all for retribution. I get a little irritated with the, okay. Yes, we can rehash things we know. We know the government stole the election. We know that they've been covering up their, you know, their mishaps with, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop fiasco. That's nothing ever going to come of it. And, you know, you got to almost come to terms with, it's corruption. Corruption, and they're laughing at us. They're like, shh, don't worry about that. Look over there.
Yep.
But
yep.
This, look what you did to our kids. And if I really hope that enough comes out and some of these people can, perhaps we should have some good old-fashioned cakewalks to raise some money for the lawyers for any particular case. Like, okay, I know that my child will be alive, except for you insisted on this, and I believed you, and it was all lies, and now they're gone. I'd love to see one of those cases go through, just the way that these kids at the church won their case, and how long this is. That was absurdity. You know, I remember when that was going on. You had to wear masks outside. They did the same thing for the seniors, the senior class of 2020. That's how they had to do their senior prom, was with masks outside in a parking lot. Tailgate parking lot was their prom with masks and social distancing. It was like,
that's,
you are
so
fucking crazy. You are horrible. You're going to hell for the money you took to enact this exercise of fear and control when it was completely unnecessary. But that's what you did to these kids. I want to watch you burn. I want to watch you squirm. I want a public crucifixion of you. People need to see you called out for everything we thought and thought of you. Now you think you're Mr. Wonderful. No, you're not. And it's going to be in print how you are not Mr. Wonderful. And that needs to be done. because there was more. We lost three. There was three that I know of, three kids in our district that first year that killed themselves. They were in high school. Three suicides during the lockdown that I know of. And, of course, people were not talking because everyone was freaked out and living like hamsters and didn't know what was coming next. I really would. I would like to know the numbers. I would like to get a class action. I would like these parents to have some sort of closure and justification, some sort of give me the word I want to use, but some sort of comfort knowing that their children got justice because this was an unnecessary occurrence.
Closure is a great word. Sense of purpose, you know. For what happened, you know, and to further that point, like just think about how many children had to wear masks and you know, what would happen if they had duct tape over their mouth?
Exactly. It is no different, I don't think. And now I still see educators that have these crazy looking masks on and sunglasses and hats, and they don't even look human. It's like, what do these children think of these people? What is this child's reality? I don't like it. It's not healthy. And nobody is explaining to these kids that this is not what a normal person is. You know, look, and I wonder what they say to them. Do they question why this person looks like this and this person looks okay? They're not wearing a mask. Very few kids are wearing masks, but there are some that are. And it's kind of like they will probably be wearing them the rest of their lives, as are these educators, because they're choosing to do this. And they feel comfortable, then they feel this is normal. And the rest of us are like, oh, dear God, this is. We know it's not normal. We know it's not necessary. And it just looks weird. And at some point when there's little, it's scary. Don't you think it's scary? I think it's scary. I don't think we should be scaring our kids all the time. And where are the – no, it's like we created this, you know, room full of politically correct, you can never offend and dare, you know, hurt anyone's feelings or question anything. So that's never going to be addressed. But I think that's a big thing because it's a little kid's reality.
It is. And especially like – So you were talking about earlier how it's easy to get like, you know, like tensed up on other people's angers and bitterness and things like that. And that's, you know, that's my sin there. That's something that I'm trying to get over. That's what I get triggered over is when, first of all, anybody wearing a mask, especially like who's outside and, you know, all of the above. But especially like special place in hell kind of angst for when I see a family in a parking lot and the parents are not wearing masks, but the children are.
Yes. That makes me, it was like carte blanche for these sickos that are sadistic and they are child abusers and they have a weird streak in them. And call them, you know, Sybil's mother. It's an old Sally Field movie. Sally Field's in so many movies. I think we're talking yesterday.
Is that the one where
it was Sally
them,
Field?
Took the child to Arabia or whatever it was?
Yeah, she had multiple personalities because she had a deranged mother who tortured her.
Different movie. I'm sorry.
But when I see that, that's how I'm thinking is that we haven't had that one avenue of, oh, my gosh, okay, I'm calling. I don't like this. I'm reporting this. We have every right to do this because we encouraged it, and they're not hurting their kids. You can't call out child abuse when you say, it looks like child abuse to me. This looks kind of sad.
I've called it out.
I'm going to tell you that the system that we have really needs to be revamped because they're almost worse than. I could go on.
Well, the system for sure. CPS is the largest.
The whole child system They have, they have psychiatric hospitals for little kids. When they talked about children's mental health, I'm sorry, kids, you don't need to rush them to a therapist. They will have temper tantrums. They will. We're doing a great disservice to these poor kids because there's nothing wrong with them other than the fact that maybe they're crabby and they need a snack and a nap or something or play or something. But no, they have mental illness. We need to be. And we've got hospitals. We made an industry just like the prison system. It's a whole other industry. And we're shipping them off to, it makes me ill.
That's the indoctrination, starts. Children are a very valuable asset, to the powers that be.
They're
and this is, these are indoctrination centers. And there are preordained paths, predestined paths for each child, right? And it's based on racism, sexism, ableism, all kinds of stuff. I'm not trying to be a liberal right here, but these paths that historically our children have been led down were made for them. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to make me think of the word eugenics when I thought of eugenics.
Yes.
It was when you would – Mengele was really good at that. He loved to take – twins and this
where did he come from
brought to you by Pfizer. He worked right next to Pfizer factory. A Nazi Germany.
Nazi. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. And so just not to get too far off course, and we won't, I promise, but when we're when we were did our segment earlier about censorship at the censorship hearing, that's what they did. That's what Debbie Wasserman Schultz did, is say, this needs to go in private session because you're trying to say, blah, 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 about you're trying to make comparisons to the Holocaust. And I'm sorry, but there are comparisons to be made. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And why are you afraid to have this conversation? That's what an investigation is. That's what a hearing is to bring out evidence and talk about whatever and see. We need to publicly talk about this. To not let you hide what you're doing. We're bringing this out in the open.
And let me draw another comparison to the fact, to the Sound of Freedom movie. Right? It's like, okay, so Congress... Mm-hmm. The government, we know, is evil, right? That's what, most of the people who are awake are saying that this government is evil, right? And they're trying to censor things.
They have our best interest in knowing.
Hollywood is evil. Not saying the Sound of Freedom is Hollywood, but people try to make all kinds of comparisons to that. But these are things that need to be said. Right. And so whether you think that government is evil or not, the fact that that government is outing themselves as anti-free speech should be something that we can learn from. Same thing as Hollywood trying to downplay a film about human trafficking. There's something to be learned from that. That doesn't mean that I support Hollywood, and it certainly doesn't mean that I support government. But when they talk about it, I think that people will listen. People who need to wake up. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think anytime you are silent, that is a red flag. Because that is exactly what the Iron Curtain was portrayed as. You went to a gulag. You were enemy of the state. The state-run media. We have that here, and we don't seem to see that we do have that. And they're telling us there's the investigation, the 3-day investigation into this huge bag of what turned out to be cocaine. We didn't find anything, so the investigation is closed. The end. And that story went away because they said so. It's like, hello.
Right.
And everyone questioned that, but that's not allowed to become any more of a conversation. They
right,
should
exactly.
tell you there's something is wrong in the land of Odd here. And there's just too many things that are wrong, and they keep telling us there's nothing to see here. And give you, they're giving you a, they're sequestering you into groups. And that was the story today. They had Chris Christie, of all people, on Meet the Press, and that was his talking point, that we have polarized, our nation has become a different faction, so many small factions of polarized people, and it was like, what's your solution here, buddy boy? Because that seems to be what you guys, you wanted us to be pitted against each other.
Right.
And
Bernie Sanders is the same way. He has, he knows, he knew the problem. What's
mm-hmm.
the solution?
Well, I'm not going to take it from Chris Christie because
no, exactly.
it had a nefarious ring to it. But they, you know, the whole facade of, you know, especially since we just had celebration, our first real celebration of the 4th of July and our freedom, that's just such a joke. We don't have freedom here. Our press has become state-run propaganda, and you saw it in fine glory, all the glory, with Debbie Wasserman Schultz right there. It was just like, oh, and I was, it gave me a glimmer of hope that they put her in her place and said, absolutely not, we're not doing this. Yay. Maybe we have an avenue of getting out of this, because the minute you say that the emperor has no clothes, and I'm sorry, but this is not how we're going to conduct things anymore. You put them back into the little cave where they came from. And this is how we operate in the light. We operate in truth and justice. And free and open, you know, way back when. To be transparent was a really, really not a good thing. Back in the 80s, if you were transparent, you were like so fake and you could see right through that you were a fake person. Now, everything is transparent. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're hiding behind a wall of propaganda, you know, in a fluid wall of propaganda like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something else. So I think that there is a moment that's about to come when everybody has their illusions of what this country really is going to slap them in the face, and everybody's going to need, you know, a pillow and a cookie because it's too much, because this is not what you guys thought this was. And I don't know how they're going to react. They're going to go back into denial or back to their corners of fighting against each other instead of, oh, wait a minute, the news? Is not the real, they're talk, you know, talking heads that are here to manipulate and control and placate, keep you peaceful with what you want to hear.
Right.
You know.
But the term, okay, so the term cognitive dissonance really applies to this situation, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Either, you know,
yeah.
when dissonance, you know, an unsavory note in music, basically, is the definition, comes to, like, you know, comes to
mm-hmm.
you know, the people can hear it, right? Some people, everybody is going to be like, what was that?
Hurt.
Turn that off.
Yeah.
But
what was that?
So some people will revert and not hear it and go back, you know, to the past and try to fight against that dissonance. But
mm-hmm.
I believe that's going to be a small percentage of the population. Most people will take it, accept it, honor it, and do what they can to change it. Because at the end of the day, when enough people wake up, when anyone actually wakes up to the cognitive dissonances that are going on right now, when it comes to voting, when it comes to censorship, and most importantly, when it comes to child abuse, these subjects are so hard for people to hear that I think we're experiencing right now, the fighting about it has to do with mm-hmm. people confronting that dissonance. And yeah. you know, and that's fine. If you want to call me, you know, a campaign finance embezzler because you can't wake up to this truth, I don't really mm-hmm. think that has anything to do with me, and it has everything to do with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why we can't really, like, if we let their the poison and, you know, the that they're spewing off when they're trying to wake up to this truth.
And that's exactly what it is poison.
Yeah. I know it's hard for me to handle it, but it's much harder for children to be raped and trafficked, you know, so I'll take it. I'll endure that pain, you know, and hopefully
and
these people wake up.
As you refuse to acknowledge it, it still goes on. And it's like focus on what's really important. But in the meantime, they already have their diabolical plan of division, where the more that you rise up and call these things out, they are grouping you into this huge ball of conspiratorial. Christian right wing, January 6th, you know, you are a threat to our democracy. They're building this bubble around, getting bigger, the big, huge bubble, because they keep putting people in it. And we're like this huge ball of discontent that they need to somehow contain. And that law, that law that they're using is being obstructionist to government, and a 20-year term goes to every single one of those people that went to the Capitol, and they are hunting them down one at a time. Another old man here, he was there. They found his, you know, they're using this facial recognition, and they're zooming in on these crowds, and they're trying to find each and every one of them, and they are. One at a time, they've arrested another one. And those poor people are going to jail. And they're going to use this law, this misused law, because they were there for a political protest. But no, now they've become, you know, they were obstructing the government. Oh, that needs to be called out. It needs to be called out for what it is. This is like North Korea style, you are an enemy of the state. And I really think, and they polarized it because now it's a red and a blue, Democrats, Republicans, and wow, it's so fucking evil. It just is. You used to be able to have freedom of thought, freedom of political speech, freedom of religion. No, your religion is bad because we said it is. And now, and that's, if you don't see that's been happening. That was another thing I wanted to talk about, was they have done this in other countries. And for the last 24 years, the Falun Gong has been an enemy of the state of China. And they have gotten hundreds of thousands of people, and they pump them down wherever they are. And they even came here, and they had these Chinese jails. Did you hear about they were shutting them down because the Chinese government had jails in New York that they were hunting down their fledgling Chinese people that were over here trying to arrest them and extradite them back.
I did not know that until you told me that. So thank you.
Well, it was a very small. It made the papers. It's an actual thing, and they were like, "This is illegal. You can't operate this way in the U.S." But what they were doing was, they're hunting down these religious fanatics from their country and bringing them back and punishing them. And we're doing the very same thing with January 6th. And it's basically right-wing, you know, conservative Christians. And it's going to snowball. And it's snowball into exactly what that was. And for some reason, this is allowed. And you've got the Democrats who are
For some reason this was allowed, it's because we allow it. And that's kind of my whole thing.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We allow for and some reason. Like, that reason is because we allow it.
Exactly. Exactly. Without doing something. There's a, you know, let me get this book. I'm going to read you a short piece of The Cuckoo's Nest. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Now, did you see that movie? It had Jack Nicholson and then Nurse Ratched. I believe somebody was talking about Nurse Ratched. Maybe your mom was for a moment. And that was a situation where, you know, here's a free-thinking, crazy guy ended up in the psych ward in New York. And they couldn't break his spirit. And you had this, where's my glasses, this control freak of a nurse who's in charge of his ward. And he was the hero, the rock star to all these guys that were stuck in this mental hospital. And there's one part, and when I read this, I thought, this is kind of what we need to do as a society. Okay. The big nurse's eyes swelled out white as he got close. She hadn't reckoned on him doing anything. This was supposed to be her final victory over him, supposed to establish her rule once and for all. But here he comes, and he is big as a house. She started popping her mouth and looking for her black boys, the guards, that would help subdue the patient. Scared to death, but he stopped before he got to her. He stopped in front of her window. He said in his slowest, deepest drawl how he figured he could use one of those smokes he had bought this morning. Then ran his hand through the glass. The glass came apart like water splashing, and the nurse threw her hands to her ears. He got one of the cartons of cigarettes with his name on it and took out a pack, then put it back and turned to where the big nurse was sitting like a chalk statue and very tenderly went to brushing the slivers of glass off her head and shoulders. "I'm sure sorry, ma'am," he said. "God, but I am. That window glass was so spick and span I could completely forgot it was there." It took just a couple of seconds. He turned and left her sitting there with her face shifting and jerking and walked back across the day room to his chair, lighting up his cigarette. She was playing the head game with anything he did. She'd have control over his cigarettes and his medication. Well, he took it into his own hands and just took over his.
And what is it from?
This is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ah, okay.
This is such a good book, and it's a great movie. But in the end, because he could not be broken, he could not be tamed, they finally did give him the total lobotomy, because he used to be taken in for shock treatment after one of his episodes like this. And this was written by, in the third person, of there was this big Indian that was there with him, that was silent the whole time. And after they gave him a lobotomy, the Indian saw that, you know, it was pretty much a lost cause, and he took and ripped the table open, threw it out the window, and walked out of the hospital. And that was the end of the movie. It was a great movie. But there's only so much that human beings can take. And at some point in time, you have to take it into your own hands to just, I simply will not be controlled by you. And the way that he played that off, I loved it. You know, the glass was just, I didn't know the glass was there. It was so clean. I just went and got mine. And didn't take the whole carton. Took his one pack out and put his carton back because he had to ask for his cigarettes. I was like, this is great. But we're being treated like little children that don't know any better. And you can only have what we tell you and nothing more. And go back and sit down and be quiet. And at some point in time, you know, I don't know. But in the meantime, we're directing our anger at the wrong people. We're not directing it at those people who are in charge of us. we're focused upon those who don't agree with us, who have different political views.
Those who we can learn from and be helped from the most.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be fighting against us.
Exactly. And those who are in charge are just happy to watch us fight because we're occupied. They can continue on with their next plan of attack because we're too busy fighting about this and they have something else up their sleeve.
And being unfriended. By the way, I have to say I did not unfriend one person during this whole current COVID.
Well, you're better than I am because I've decided I'm not going to let people steal my energy. And when you've become too much of an irritation, if I'm not finding joy from what you're putting out there, I don't want that energy in my life. So I've unfriended lots of people, but it preserves my own inner peace. You're much more tolerant than I am.
Just the last one. Trust me, during other, dust-ups, I've unfriended a lot of people. But when it comes to this one, when it comes to Pedogate, then when I see people who understand Pedogate going and planting gardens and getting chickens, I feel most connected to those people. And it seems that those people are the very same who are fighting me the hardest on the Pedogate stuff, you know?
And it's unusual. And I looked at it, I'm like, you would really have to unfriend a lot of people because everybody was just acting like wild, crazy people on this one. And it just made me think of how easily manipulated people are because I don't think they're acting rationally. They're reacting instead of having a response. They weren't giving their opinion. They were giving a cut and paste. This is what has been put out there for me to latch onto, a parroted narrative, cognitive dissonant. And even the, talking about, perhaps being the dance, the choreographer of the dance that we're dancing is putting these things out here for us. This is how we do it. We're all doing a line dance together on Facebook. And then they put this. These posts started coming. I'm like, of course, my head went to. I know what's happening. It's looming on the horizon. Is the digital ID, the digital currency, the AI that's going to write, the journalism. We won't even have these, talking heads. It's going to be an AI program putting out The Atlantic and the Washington Post, and I'll be from one AI program from Microsoft, and that's going to be your news. But there's also, I got these Twitter accounts, but you don't know if this is who this Twitter account is or where this post came from. They had taken and perhaps even superimposed the quote on top of Tim Ballard that he's quite sure that the only way around this is to get your children microchipped.
Yeah.
And that went around. Then there was another post that was a Twitter, TikTok thing of a program that they already have going in Georgia to microchip your children just like you do your dogs. For their safety. And I'm like, it's almost they had the 200-page Patriot Act ready the day after the towers got hit. Boom. We already had it all set. And I'm like, but is it real? But are these things real, or did this just get thrown out into the mix to make people more crazy? Are we being manipulated even more so through this? And it's just like we're going to waste their energy with this bullshit that we put through Facebook. They're living their life on an app. We've got them. And I'm just like, maybe we need to pull back, be a little more discerning, use better critical thinking skills, and maybe see everything that's coming through as far as information. Let's assume it's disinformation. Find out where this shit came from before we start reacting to it and latching on to this parented, it's cognitive deficits and the microchip and blah, blah. Yeah, they've been talking about the microchip for forever. They've been talking about the, you know, the mark of the beast is going to be the microchip. They even talked about that when I was in high school. They talked about the barcodes, because back in the day when I was like 18, they just switched over the cashiers. Used to have the numbers, and they would pop in $1.89 by hand. You didn't have the barcode that you scanned food with. That was
yeah.
a new thing.
Well, let me clarify really quick, because it's something you just said.
When that came out, that barcode thing, which actually is, that was made by IBM, which was how Hitler did the numbers on the arms for the Jews, the barcode, mm-hmm. that, my friend told me, is that's the mark of the beast. But way back then, there were still talks, and that's how you're going to be
marketing. Well, it's been since the beginning of the Old Testament,
you know?
New Testament
so
anyway. I just want to play, you know, a very, you know, less than 1 minute clip of Tim Ballard saying that he's never supported shipping. So these quote-unquote truthers, who keep saying and have still to this day never provided an audio clip of him speaking anywhere supporting the microchip. I think it's really interesting that these truthers are saying, well, there it is. I'm going to wash my hands of it, right? Because he said it right here mm-hmm. in this very convenient meme, and no one's ever
right.
been able to send me an audio of that. Here we go. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, guys. They will never cease to amaze me how far the godless leftist media will go to an interference for human traffickers. They're throwing everything at me right now. I just saw a post that seems to be trending in certain places saying that I am in favor of putting microchips in children so we can track them. It's complete baloney. I've never weighed in on that. I've never said anything. In fact, I'm very much against anything that would allow the government or others to control children. I just found out yesterday that I'm also apparently involved in trafficking. I run trafficking networks. Or that I'm some mason involved in strange Masonic practices. It's not going to stop. Expect every lie. At this point, I have been accused of everything but murder. So I want you just to expect more to come, including probably that I've killed people. Who knows? Hey, guys, it will never cease to amaze me. Huh?
Now, I have to push back on one thing he said. He is a trafficker, but he's but look at, this is so frustrating. What is trafficking? It's moving people from one place to another. So if
but
you
he was rescuing, correct?
Yes.
I mean,
it doesn't matter. He was a trafficker.
Actual
like I'm not saying
was.
It's a nefarious
I mean,
thing for everything. If I sit in traffic mm-hmm. on the road, Elizabeth, you know, you by trade you're a trafficker. You bring children
right.
from one place to another. It's not
right.
about nefarious purposes all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're talking about, and what he's talking about, you know, he's like, I've been accused of trafficking children. Well, technically, he was trafficking children from evil situations to good situations. You know what I mean? Like, but everybody
mm-hmm.
who hears the word trafficker, you know, oh, he's a trafficker.
No,
I just have to bring a little light to that.
I think it's good, but trafficking is bad now, yes.
Yep.
Because I miss it so much. I'm glad he did. I'm good. I'm so glad that we should put that out a little bit more. He was on a show, and he was really going on about how horrible it is that we are mutilating our children and manipulating their reality of themselves. And
amen.
I was like, he's my hero. And it was more
yeah.
so of he really is a fighter for our children. And with that in mind, is it any wonder that, you know, the dark forces that can steal people's rational thoughts have gotten in collectively. Let's attack them. It truly is a spiritual fight between good and bad right now. We're witnessing it. And here's the other catch 22. It's not a quick catch 22, but here's the reality is that no matter what, everybody's always going to attack anything that has to do with religious. If you're on the side of religion, you have been brainwashed and you are terrible and blah, blah. And it's, I think the hardest thing to try to get people to grasp is that there is good and there is evil. And it exists right now as we are speaking. And you really need to decide which side you're going to be on.
Yeah, because and it's no wonder they attack religion.
The losing side or the winning side. And I think that would be the polarization that, and inevitably that you're going to see is those who are going to fight tooth and nail to save an evil system that they love, and those who are like, oh, no, we can't condone, we can't comply, we can't continue to support this because everything about it is evil. From the screaming to kill our babies before they're in the womb, after they've left the womb, and then after they've grown up. Even I have seen the curriculum for the UK schools, and I'm sure they're coming here, and they might even be here when they're too afraid to show them to the parents, that they are teaching children how to be sexually active in preschool. They have these parents.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hello. If you can't see what they're doing and who these people are, you've got a problem. And
I think the most important success that Satan ever had over humanity is convincing the masses that God doesn't exist. You know? And so all of
and
these
that,
things.
Neither does he. Yeah.
What's up?
You know.
And neither does he. Yes, exactly.
And neither
does
he.
So all of this curriculum
that's set out. Evil, it's in the hearts of men. No. You are a real entity, and God is real also. Energy is real. Spirits are real. And
through science, they try to go through and say that God's creations are subject to breaking down, but you know, whether it comes to the mind or the body, and a lot of times in public curriculum, breaking down of the minds and the body are a key part of this indoctrination, trying to get
mindful people.
Yes, absolutely, and it definitely starts with children.
Yes.
Breaking down to the mind and the body. And making the indoctrination reflect that the spirit also is not real.
Yeah, I want to talk about stealing.
Yeah.
Stealing trademarks. The big lies.
And so in this movie, in this very controversial movie, when Jim Caviezel at the end says, you know, God's children are not for sale, and that's a big thing that people take offense of, it's like very ironic to me because that's literally what Pedogate is saying, raising awareness so that everyone knows that not only, you know, I believe that every child is God's child. So that God's children are not for sale, and that we've got mama bears and papa bears out there to teach these children the right way, that your body is not for sale, that your mind is not for sale, that your, you know, that your education is not for sale, that your spirit is not for sale, you know, but that's our job to protect our children. And I am proud to say that at least, you know, regardless of what Kate Chapman says on the internet about my contribution, at least my children, my two children, know what's going on. I protected at least two, you know, And if you think that I'm trying to say something else, you know, whatever. Maybe my almost, decade of raising awareness came to nothing. Maybe everything that I've said about planting gardens and withdrawing consent from the system in any way you possibly can, maybe that had no impact. But I can tell you, I protected two living beings. My children were not molested. And any kind of indoctrination as far as schooling goes was refuted. And they know better. And religion, no. My children learned spirituality from me, not from churches. So I'm sorry. We only have 4 minutes left. So you know.
Oh, my God. That went by fast. And I think it's crucial to get the message out that you are made perfect. There's nothing wrong with you. And that's the thing that right now we've gone full circle into crazy, where we were supposed to accept everything.
Yes.
And now, oh, no, everything's wrong. We can fix it. We've got surgeries galore to help you fix this because this is not right. You need to wake up to that because your children are perfect just the way they are. All you got to do is love them, and they're going to be fine.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Oh, my God.
You need to free yourselves. Parents need to free themselves of their indoctrination because children are born perfect. And I'm sorry, but children children should not be aware of sexuality unless they're abused. So if your 2-year-old comes to you and says, I think I'm a little boy when they were born a little girl, you probably should look at
who's watching, abuse. Who's been talking to you.
Yes.
Too. Yes. Somebody,
who's defiled their bodies and mine.
Yeah, is that normal? You need to check. You need to pull the phone out of their hands because they've gotten everything on the YouTube is designed to steal your soul and to manipulate your mind. I don't think there's anything good. Your children don't need to be on a phone. Crayons and paper and paint and let them go out and play in the mud. Let them go out and play.
Them garden.
They don't need to be on devices. My God.
Teach them about food. Teach them how. We've got 90 seconds left. But.
There was a great. Let's end on a good note. There was a great video of a little kid that's living on a farm, and he has his little bike. He's probably 2 years old, 2 or 3, and he's got his pet chicken, who's completely docile and lets him hold him and do whatever, and he fell off his bike because he's trained. This chicken wants to be with this kid all the time. The chicken will get on the back of the bike, and the kid gets back on, balances them, and the two of them ride away because this chicken's riding the back of his bike. That's how a kid needs to grow up. That was the best. I'm like, see, that gives me hope. I'm like, okay, there are some people out there who get it, who know how to do it, and we're going to be okay. Yeah.
Mm. That's a great way to end the show.
Yeah. I think we should. I think part of the stealing of our souls is to get us to focus on all the things that are bad. There are some great things going on. And I challenge everyone this week to find something good going on in your little world and focus upon that and become part of it to make it better.
If it's only you are part of the world, you know, we can only take part of our own little corner of the world. So, yeah, with that, I love you all.
Love
you. We'll talk soon. See you next week.
Okay. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.